Newsnation.com. Tomorrow's news today. Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
All right. The bad news is this war has totally escalated past insane proportions. And we just showed you footage of huge barracks complexes completely destroyed in Jordan over the weekend. We're told that only killed three people. We have army troops, rangers, and support troops stationed there in Jordan and Israel. That, of course, has been a secret, not anymore. And the bad news is the Houthis are now closing the Red Sea Strait, the narrowest part there. The Iranian government said, well, you've targeted our leadership in their homes, so now we're going to start targeting the leadership of the Gulf states and Israel in their homes. Pentagon's out of money. We've got a lot to cover today, but the good news is in all the polls, including internal Republican polls, the vast majority of Republican voters are against this war. And the few percentage points that are for it, that's eroding very quickly. Even Laura Ingraham came out and said, end this war now. And that's coming up. Meanwhile, Mark Levin said, instead of pushing away Israel and Netanyahu, embrace their military. We didn't push away Thatcher or Churchill. The difference is they weren't going and starting wars. And the difference is, we have the different Israeli ministers, I have new clips today, top ministers in Netanyahu's government, laughing, saying this is great. It creates bedlam. We can take Lebanon. We can take parts of Syria. And we have America doing our dirty work, and we're not losing any forces. Israel said they're never going to send ground forces, though they push us to. It's disgusting. So I'm going to play that with Mark Levin, juxtapose the two things. I'm going to move through this as quickly as I can, but though it is the top story, energy prices are absolutely exploding. Trump had an 18-month deadline he gave himself to cut energy prices in half. They're up 18%, and that's an aggregate of all the different energy systems. Gas is up almost double, diesel even more, and that all accelerates inflation and derails Trump's entire plan. But he was told by Netanyahu the war would last 4 days. So we have all of that amazing news. Then we've got the domestic front with the Democrats, Socialists of America, and all the horrible things they're announcing. Abolishing the U.S. Senate because it's not democratic to popularly elect people. That's oxymoronic. It's like the climate czar Kerry a few years ago said we got to get rid of half the farms or people will starve. We got to blow our heads off with shotguns or we might bleed. We've got all over the country in Democrat-controlled cities and states, men are allowed to urinate on children, expose themselves at parks, and the police say, it's the law. They're allowed to. It's liberal. I'm not joking. In Maryland and Oregon and many other places, we have video of all this. You go to a concert, guy runs up, pulls his pants down, pisses on you and your kids. Police say, that's a loving liberal thing. They made pedophilia legal down to age 12 in California. I mean, it just illustrates who they are. Oh, Islam's rampaging as usual. The AI debt bubble, experts believe, and I agree, is getting ready to burst. We've got so much. Trump refused to leave the stage at the World Cup on purpose. I guess it's part of that frontal lobe dementia kicking in where they act like babies. It's all coming up today and so much more. ChatGPT censoring the Bible won't let you read the Bible or talk about the Bible. It's a big broadcast. Remember, you're the Paul Revere's. Share the live feeds now at Relof Jones on X.
Do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. my power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
We've got it.
Dangerous missions coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are a go.
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Tuesday, July 21st, 2026. I am your host, Alex Jones. Well, the Iranian government's official mouthpieces say we want a land invasion. They tout new missile boasts decades of war prep. And the war has officially escalated up another rung on the ladder. We are in a serious compounded energy war. It is not going our direction. We walked right into a BlackRock globalist trap that's really allied with communist China. Israel loves it because it's a diversion and a distraction while they take parts of Lebanon and Syria. And I have top Israeli ministers, Ben-Gavir, their intelligence national security head. I have Israel's finance minister, Smotrich, on video. It's in Hebrew, but it has subtitles, talking about how great it is. In fact, there's another clip I want to play before I play all these guys. Cue up from Russia with Love, the Siamese fighting fish that I've played probably 50 times over the years, where you have Spectre's got agents in MI6, in the Russians, and in the Americans, and they call them in, and they're going to play the governments off against each other to make hundreds of billions of dollars and create crises. And Ian Fleming, high-level OSS MI6, wrote those books and wrote articles and gave speeches explaining this is how it really works. There's a real global organizations out there, and you think there's a bunch of criminal groups, but above them there's one big criminal group he called Spectre. And its symbol is a octopus that's got a bunch of legs, or a hydra. And in Marvel Comics, you've got Red Skull that's the hydra. Hail Hydra! Well, they're just throwing it in your face. Or Cobra. Why does Cobra? Why does he wear a mask? Why does Destro wear a mask? Because he's an international arms dealer. He's a British lord or a Scottish lord. And they're just telling you through literature, through pop culture, how all this really works. So you got one hell of a broadcast, huge guest coming up today. I'll tell you about in a little while. Massive information. So many domestic fronts to cover as well. But this is a serious situation. Yeah, so let's start with this. Let's cue this up when she gets called in at the beginning of the meeting. It's only a few minutes long. Then I'm going to launch into the real world, what's unfolding here. You've got Israel with its lobby starting the war on the 28th of February, dragging us in, trying to take over our military with the Defense Authorization Act, Section 219. Well, Section 224, they've changed it. And that's one level, but then you've got BlackRock and the globalist and China wanting it to be the new center of power economically and want this war to economically sabotage us. Trump's being told it's about us controlling the IMEC corridor. It's actually the opposite. That's what's unfolding. And then coming up, Pentagon out of money, Red Sea blockade, new threat. They've basically closed it before and our ships pulled out so they could do it again. Let me show you these articles right here. And then the Pentagon sinking billions into Iran war is quickly running short on cash. Don't worry, they'll give them a few $100 billion more. It's costing $2.3 billion a day now. U.S. strikes unlikely to move Iran, U.S. intelligence reports say. Oh, Trump was told that 5 days before the war, or even before that. Then the Pentagon leaked it to the New York Times, hoping he'd stop. Then Israel struck first to drag us in. We know that for Marco Rubio. We'll be getting into that intel report, of course. That's what Joe Kent told us in Tulsi Gabbard. They got basically driven out. 17 U.S. service members have died in the Iran war. You can bet it's more than that. We're fighting a conflict fought largely in the air. Pentagon withheld dozens of U.S. military injuries in Iran war. A persistent dark cloud faces a Trump faces a bleak new phase in Iran as GOP midterm anxiety grows. Gas prices top $4 a gallon again as U.S.-Iran conflict escalates. AAA data shows a Red Sea blockade threatens a new front in the U.S.-Iran war. Laura Ingram drops a stark warning to Trump Republicans. The clock is ticking. She says the war is becoming a major political liability, already making GOP lawmakers nervous and unpopular with voters. Republicans cannot let this become an endless distraction, especially if they want to win in November. So even Laura Ingram raising the alarm, that's coming up. We've got all the polls coming up between 60 and 70% of Republican voters are against the war. Upwards of 85% of average Americans are against it. And Joe Kent resigned 2 weeks into the war. We're now 143 days into this. Everything we warned of has come true. We were called panickins. We were called low IQ. And those of us that warned Trump not to get into this disaster, we're the bad guys. Still, by telling somebody, don't put salt water in your gas tank, it'll seize the engine up. And your neighbor says, no, it runs great on salt water or piss. And Netanyahu was basically peeing in our gas tank, and we're like, hey, stop peeing in the gas tank, Netanyahu. And we're like, hey, you got to drain your tank. Don't crank your car. Don't drive around on pee. And Trump said, no, I'm going to do it. Started the car, drove down the road. It broke down, black smoke coming out. And Trump comes back and hugs Netanyahu and says, will you pee in my gas tank some more, please? I really, and says to us, said, don't pee in the tank. You're the enemy. Get out of here. I never want to talk to you again. And now Trump was meeting with the Lebanese president today. He said, if we left right now, it would take Iran 20 to 25 years to rebuild. Okay, declare victory and say you've degraded their military and leave. If we didn't do that, what I did, they would have a nuclear weapon. And, of course, they would then destroy all their neighbors, Trump says. So why doesn't Trump leave? Because they're keeping the strait closed until they get paid $300 billion. They did want $500 billion in reparations and the U.S. military to go. So Trump's saying, hey, you're locked in here with me to the Iranian mullahs. And they're saying, no, you're locked in here with us. So that clip's coming up and some of the other highlights of the ongoing press conference. But first, let's go to one of the earliest James Bond movies written by the spy chief Ian Fleming, where they explain how all this works. And there's different players at different levels that stand to gain from this. BlackRock controls 87% of world assets. It says they want to bankrupt the world, but social credit score is the savior to control your behavior. These are all quotes with a global UN, Bill Gates, Chinese communist-designed world ID that he announced again last week, been ready for 10 years, and the central bank digital currency. They want the recovery to fail here and all the nations to be hurt by it because then they can loan unlimited money to people to put us deeper in debt to control our behaviors and make us indentured domesticated servants. And then Israel wants its larger expansion, greater Israel, and it's got the muscle in the lobby and how it's doing whatever Israel says, and the Christian Zionist brainwashing, fetishizing, doing whatever the leaders in Israel say, whatever King Herod says. When he cut John the Baptist's head off, he was good because any leader of Israel is good. Jesus wouldn't do what the leaders of Israel said. He was killed. You've got to follow the leaders of Israel or you go to hell. So Jesus is in hell. John the Baptist is in hell. Herod cutting off John the Baptist's head was good. The whole Bible, Old Testament, New Testament is about Israel being bad and then being cursed and put into bondage. But again, you're supposed to do whatever leader of Israel says. So when the Antichrist in the Bible is ruling from there, you must worship him or you're going to hell. That's how this has all been twisted. And the Israel lobby knows that and is laughing at us on national TV saying, ha, 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 the Americans are killing themselves fighting for Israel. We're not going to send any troops. This is a perfect situation, close quote, a perfect situation that Israel has manipulated the United States into. I'm going to play you their finance minister, and I've got Ben-Gvir saying something similar, their national security head. Wow, that's really friendly and nice. The arrogance, how dumb the Likudniks think you and I are, that they on TV, look at this guy, say all of this. That is all coming up of him on national TV and him in front of the Knesset. That's the other clip. Just openly saying that we've got these two killing each other while we get stronger and creating chaos. This is the perfect situation. But before I go to all those clips, here's from Russia with love for some of the thicker folks. I know most of the audience is super smart. For people that don't understand how 144 days into this is a disaster and how it's killing the recovery and how the U.S. was on the verge of bankruptcy and we needed Trump's plan to get out of it, or BlackRock and the big private central banks that own the Federal Reserve, we're going to lose our credit rating. It's already been downgraded. And then when we lose the dollar as the world reserve currency, the United States will be in an endless depression of biblical proportions and literal hell on earth, which not just America, the world has been positioned for the global collapse. And then the UN and BlackRock come in with the global central bank digital currency, global social credit score, universal basic income, unified ledger where everything you own, your house, your car, all of it's put in one AI controlled ledger and you don't own it. Like Klaus Schwab said years ago, you'll own nothing and be happy. Yeah, now we've got quotes here. We cannot stop destroying houses in southern Lebanon. We cannot stop, period. Israel Minister Ben-Gvir's made new statements. We cannot allow the population of southern Lebanon to return. We must continue to control the territory, even if Trump disagrees. He said last week, we're going to burn all of Lebanon and take it all. And so that's Ben-Gvir responding to Trump with the Lebanese president who's been working with Israel, by the way, and saying, fine, blow up whatever you want. We're your friend. Kill whoever you want. Send in, you know, Al-Qaeda out of Syria. We'll do whatever you say. Our legs are spread. Our feet are behind our ears. And Trump's like, well, we're going to get Israel out of there. That's what he just said. The ongoing press conference right now. Just like, you know, Trump months ago said, stop bombing Lebanon. We got a peace deal. I order you to. And Netanyahu said, F you. And Ben-Gvir, who's got more power than Netanyahu, he really calls the shots. He says, hey, we ain't leaving. It's like Wolf of Wall Street at the end when he says, we ain't leaving. You're going to have to send in the National Guard to get me out of here. You got to bring in a wrecking ball. And by the way, we got nuclear weapons and the Samson option. So we ain't going nowhere. And we love how we started this war and got you in it. It's perfect. This is an ideal situation for you dumbass Americans. And if you don't do what we say, you're going to hell. You follow whatever an Israeli leader says. King Herod cut off John the Baptist's head, and it's of the Lord. I've seen Pastor Hagee, the Zionist preacher, in his megachurch San Antonio 20 years ago. I put the clip many times. He said, Jesus was not the Messiah, but a Jewish rebel that the Jews dealt with wisely. All right, let's go ahead and go to a clip, though, from Russia with Love explaining how this works. Here it is.
Three men were found dead on the train at Trieste. One of them was Grant. What have you to say in number five?
It was Gleb's choice. Her people failed.
It was your plan. They followed it implicitly.
Impossible. It was perfect.
Except for one thing. They were dealing with Bond.
Who is Bond compared with Kronstein?
Exactly. What have you to say to that, number three? Bond is still alive and the Lector is not yet in our possession. I had already negotiated with the Russians to return it to them. We've agreed a price. Inspector always delivers what he promises. Our whole organization depends on our keeping those promises. I warn you, we do not tolerate failure number 3. You know the penalty.
Yes. Number 1.
Our rules are very simple. If you fail... seconds. One day we must invent a faster working venom. Number 3.
Yes.
I do not wish to have to tell the Russians that there will be another delay.
There will be no delay, number 1. There's still time.
Siamese fighting fish. Fascinating creatures. Brave, but on the whole stupid. Yes, they're stupid. Except for the occasional one such as we have here, who lets the other two fight. While he waits. Waits until the survivor is so exhausted that he cannot defend himself. And then, like Spectre, he strikes.
And that's pretty good. I mean, they did it on the fly, just searching Siamese fighting fish, Russia would love. They found a weird clip. It's another clip with a shorter clip. But in post, when we post this to X and Rumble later from the live show, I'll find the nice, juicy 2-minute clip is what it is. It explains it all, how they control the operatives in the different governments, how they play them off against each other. And it's a great description. So you'll be able to go up to X, go up to Rumble later. That's the great part about the live show. When something doesn't go the way I want, it's okay. We can just add it later in post, and it's like it never happened, just like that. Okay, so let's go ahead now and start going to these clips explaining how this works, okay? Now, here's Laura Ingraham explaining, and this is internal Republican polls, and Mark Mitchell was up there, you know, 8 months ago. They saw him on the show. They called him up to the White House trying to convince Trump not to go to war, as he was talking about it then, and to talk about domestic stuff and not meet with Larry Ellison and all the billionaires and, you know, get back to populist stuff. And he didn't listen. And now they've got more internal polls. And they know that it is going to be devastation in the midterms because there's already so much election fraud that hasn't been reversed and fixed. So you got to have a landslide to win. And we're not going to get the landslide. I would say it's going to be a moderate Republican victory. They would keep the House and Senate, but not gain many seats. But now I predict we're going to lose the House and Senate on current trajectory. And I predict this war is still going when the midterms are here because the Iranians are not going to open the Strait of Hormuz. And again, we've seen, Secretary of State, all of them saying we got to get back where we were when the Strait was open. Well, it's closed because Israel attacked on the 28th and we joined them hours later in the morning of March 1st. And here we are 144 days later in that disaster, which kills the Trump recovery, which kills the world economy, which causes mass starvation with the fertilizer cutoff from Ukraine and the Middle East to Africa and other countries, giant migrant flows. They want the Great Reset. That's what the carbon taxes and the Paris Accord that Trump pulled out of did. So important, saving billions of people in the aggregate. They were going to cut half the carbon use on the world. Studies show that would kill at least 2 billion people over the next decade. So that's a great thing Trump did. But now it's all being mitigated by this inflation and the energy being cut off and the fertilizers being cut off. Yeah, there's the Washington Post. It's true. U.S. teeters on all-out war with Iran after more troops are killed. And the point is that's because Trump is going to continue to double down in face saving instead of getting an off ramp. And as I predicted, the mullahs want their reparations and they want our troops out. And Trump's not going to do that. And I don't think he could reasonably even do that. And so it's going to continue in a war of attrition. So here's Laura Ingraham. And then it goes right into J.D. Vance on Joe Rogan last week explaining Israel is ultra unpopular, but Israel doesn't care because it is self-contained and has nuclear weapons. And they don't care if we go bankrupt because up the chain, Israel is controlled by BlackRock and the Rothschilds that created Israel. Isn't that sick? So they get us and they get the Islamists at the same time and we do all their dirty work and then their ministers laugh on TV about it. We have those clips coming up. But first, here's Laura Ingraham sounding the alarm and J.D. Vance telling like it is.
All right, Steve, thank you very much. And with the midterm elections a little more than 100 days away, the clock is ticking for President Trump to get out of this war before voters head to the polls. It's making a lot of Republicans nervous. It's already, as we know, unpopular. According to the New Washington Post Ipsos poll, 69% of Americans disapprove of the handling of this conflict. Republicans cannot let this become an endless distraction, especially if they want to win in November. Here to
Israel is losing the public opinion battle in the United States of America. It is a simple and obvious fact. Donald Trump has said that publicly. It's a simple and obvious fact.
Why do you think
fact.
That is?
Why is Israel losing? Why is Israel losing American public opinion?
Well, the narrative is that Israel has a very disproportionate effect on American politics.
Yeah, I see that. I see that narrative. I mean, I actually think that they look. Do they try to influence American politics? Yes. I mean, why wouldn't you? It's a country of 9 million people. We have 330 million people, and so of course they're going to try to persuade Americans. They're going to try to move Americans in one direction or another. I think that's just the nature of the beast.
But it's more than that. The concern is that they're spying on American politicians. That there's concerns about funding. There's concerns about influence. There's concerns about whether or not politicians are. Whether they're aligned with Israel or whether they're aligned with the United States first.
Now, here's Beelzebub, Bezalel Smotrich, their finance minister, and it's in Hebrew, but there's subtitles, saying, America fighting Iran, the chaos, what's going on, this is ideal for us. And they've said they want Trump with a ground invasion, but they're not going to send troops. But then that dovetails with Mark Levin saying, you've got to stand with the Israeli military. You mean we got to fight and die while they sit there and do nothing and laugh at us? So here's the finance minister.
The ideology of the Iranian Islamist regime is based on the belief that Allah compels the annihilation of the West. And that dying in service of Allah is martyrdom. Mutual assured destruction is not a deterrence. So how do we eliminate the regime? Well, there's some things we haven't tried for some reason. First, rather than pushing away Israel, we didn't push away Thatcher. We didn't push away Churchill. Rather than pushing away Israel and Netanyahu, we should embrace their military. We should embrace their intelligence expertise in the region, as we did early in this war. Regardless of what the Arab states and Turkey and Pakistan think or what they want, it is in our national security interest to end the Iranian regime as fast as we can, period. Just as Reagan worked with Thatcher, we must continue to work with Netanyahu. He is a strength. He is a strength.
צריך לזכור, באיראן יש כרגע אינפלציה של 85%. אני אגיד ככה, כרגע למדינת ישראל אין אינטרס להצטרף למערכה. המצב הנוכחי שבה יש מערכה מתוחמת בין איראן לארצות הברית הוא הנכון והטוב ביותר לנו. צריך לזכור שמטרת העל שלנו במערכה, וזה לאו דווקא משותף עם ארצות הברית, זה להרער...
We're going to come back and I'm going to read this in English with the subtitles for radio listeners. Stay with us, we'll be right back. Introducing Aquapure, the ultimate water filter shower head. Ladies and gentlemen, on your screen are the major third-party scientific tests. This is the very best top-of-the-line water filtration system for your shower head. It just takes seconds to be screwed on to any system, no plumbers. You owe it to yourself, your husband, your wife, your children to cut out the gender-bending chemicals that are in all the major tap water supplies. Most well water is contaminated as well. You can't just filter the water you drink. One of the biggest places you can pull the studies up that we absorb poisons is through our skin and through our lungs. The amount of chlorine in major water supplies is insane. You know, if you put fish in tap water, even if you aerate it, even if you feed them, they die within hours. That's because it's toxic. That's because it's poison. Chlorine alone kills bacteria. Great, you don't get dysentery, but it destroys your gut flora, and it's directly linked to cancer. Then you've got the fluoride, you've got the lead, you've got the arsenic. This system reduces it all 95 to 95%. Now, we've got gravity fed filters that cut it all out, but those are drip, drip, drip. This system is the very best on the market and reduces it from 95 to 99%, depending on the hundreds of chemicals that are out there in the studies that have been done. And that is the top of the line because it's forcing it through fast. It's got really good pressure. And you are reducing it down 95 to 99%. That is the best you are going to get if you live in one of these cities with the deadly tap water. And so many areas like Los Angeles are toilet to tap. They recycle the birth control and the Adderall and all the thousands of pharmaceuticals and the feces and the tampons and the microplastics all go back in, go through all these complex systems. They fill with all this chlorine. And then they ship it back out down your water pipes. And not to mention what's in the pipes and all the buildup. And then when sewage runs off, it gets into the water supply. You are insane if you're drinking tap water. And you can look up the studies for yourself. Almost all well water and aquifers in the United States are heavily contaminated with thousands of different chemicals like lead and mercury and arsenic and fluoride and other forever chemicals. So again, I can tell you forever. In my home, we have these systems, and it does hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of showers before it's got to be replaced. The head's not replaced. We have the replacement filters for $30. For this quality, nobody can beat it, and it funds our operation against the globalists. This is very, very competitive at the normal retail. Listen to this. Normal retail is $139, but for everybody, it's $97.99, that's 30% off. And for VIP, $69.99. That is a steal at that deal. So anybody buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, whether it's t-shirts, high-quality supplements, water filters, you name it, should be a VIP. It's $30 a month. Instantly get $40 to spend, special deals, special offers, and special sales on top of sales on everything. Cancel any time, so it's not even a commitment. You just get the better deals. We get to remind you of those, and we've got a lot of really satisfied customers. Over 90-plus percent reorder rate on our supplements, and it's starting to happen with our water filters as well because we've got the best deals, and it funds our information warfare operation. This is the best. You owe it to yourself. Secure yours now while supplies last at thealexjonesstore.com, and I want to thank you for supporting the transmission while at the same time making yourself healthier, wealthier, and wise. God bless you all. Now take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
All right, I'm going to finish up on Iran and then get into all this other news because we got Victor Boot popping in. He'll get into that and the latest developments in Russia and so much more. But the threat escalation ladder has jumped to the next level. It's going into full-on ground invasion. They're talking about using nukes. It's cratering the world economy. The Pentagon's out of money despite getting $500 million supplemental packages. This is a disaster. And then we've got Ben-Gvir, and we've got Smotrich and all these other ministers in Netanyahu's government sitting back talking about how great all this is, only thinking about their own interest, as if the rest of the world doesn't affect them, which is stupid. It will affect them. It does affect them. But Israel's committed to this belligerent, megalomaniacal Greater Israel project. And they're committed to trying to take over our military and the Defense Authorization Act. They're committed to primarying whoever doesn't step and fetch it. And Israel now has put itself front and center as the villain. And has he even eclipsed communist China as the main threat when it comes to espionage against our country? And I told you that months and months ago, and now even the Defense Intelligence Agency came out and said that about 5 weeks ago. So it's just a fact. And Israel's like, you bet we run your country. Now take it. Absolutely insane. So he's reading this, he's saying this in Hebrew on national television, but I'm going to try to read the subtitles. Go ahead and read Jezebel Smotrich. I'm sorry, Beelzebub Smotrich. That's not his name. It's Bezalel Smotrich, his real name. Let's go ahead and roll it. Israel has no interest in joining U.S. war on Iran. I say that when it comes to, say, of Israel, we have no interest in joining the current situation where there is confined campaign between Iran and the United States. It is correct and best for us. We need to remember that our objective in the campaign, and this is not necessarily with the U.S., is to destabilize, weaken, to the point of overthrowing the regime. We cannot come to terms with the existence of a regime that strives to destroy the state of Israel openly, to take steps in that direction. The best way right now to bring down the regime is economically, simply to crush it economically. In this sense, the campaign and the renewal of President Trump's siege of Strait of Hormuz should be remembered in Iran. Therefore, in a current situation, is good for us, and we have no interest in pushing ourselves. Stop it, bag it up. So I don't want to get it wrong. Back it up a few more. And we have no interest in pushing ourselves in. It must be said that we are prepared, and incidentally, after yesterday's decision, for any scenario, the military is ready. And if the Iranians make the mistake and fire at us, then of course they will regret it and will face a very strong, determined, and powerful response. I mean, wow. Absolutely insane. They start the war. Netanyahu brags about it. Secretary of State says, no, they drug us in. And he says, keeping the strait closed hurts Iran. So we like it, even though it hurts all the other countries in the world, the U.S., you name it. Israel just doesn't care. The selfishness, the arrogance of this. And then you have the ADL head 2 months ago saying we're going to censor and debank and attack anybody that says Israel drug the U.S. into this war. And then Netanyahu 2 weeks ago bragged on Israeli TV in Hebrew, we played the clips, that he drug us into Midnight Hammer last June, and he drug us into this disaster. And so we are now literally fighting and going bankrupt and dying for a bunch of indicted war criminals and psychos that created Hamas, funded Hamas, stood down for Hamas, and then say, oh, look at October 7th. We're allowed to blow up all the Christians. We're allowed to take Lebanon. We're allowed to burn the whole country. And then Trump today says to the Lebanese president, don't worry, we're going to get Israel out of there and get your country stabilized. Though he said a few days ago, I might send in Al-Qaeda, though, to clean up things, murder the Christians. But Trump to the president's being friendly, and Ben-Gavir comes out and says, we're not putting up with that, and we're at least keeping southern Lebanon. And they're already preparing to move settlements in there. I don't want Israel to be the top story every day. We got a lot of fish to fry and a lot of big news, but this is out of control. Iran's been given every opportunity to negotiate to show that they're responsible in the Strait of Hormuz, but if they're going to shoot at commercial shipping, then we're going to hit them 10 times harder every night. We've degraded them further and further. Okay. I think I'm going to play Hegseth in a moment, but let's get that clip ready. And also the other one where Trump's telling the president, oh, yeah, we're going to get Israel to leave. And Israel says, no, we're not. I thought Iran didn't have any missiles left, according to Trump in all those speeches. You know, the Pentagon said they got over 70% of their missiles left, and they're making more. And then here's Hegseth, who I don't want to sit here and attack. I like Hegseth. I don't think he's a bad person. I think he, you know, means well in what he's doing. But he's made a terrible mistake, and Trump's made a terrible mistake. And he's going, oh, we degrade them more every day. The Strait of Hormuz is a giant armed camp of mountains and hills, And all they need is low-tech missiles and artillery that you can't stop at close range to sink commercial ships. Now, the low-tech stuff might not be able to take out an aircraft carrier or a missile cruiser because they've got all the anti-missile guns and missiles, but they can take out any of those ships they want. And they've said, if you come in there, we're going to blow you up. When ships try to run the U.S. blockade, we sink them. So we're in a war here. And so Trump always gives the same speech. Oh, we've put their ships at the bottom. Oh, we blew up lots of their stuff. Yeah, we've dropped, what, 50,000 bombs or so on them? Vietnamese, 7.6 million. Did they lose? U.S. soldiers killed by Iran were from Texas, Hawaii, military says. Okay, let's go ahead and go to Hegseth. And then I'm going to go to Joe Kent, the former head of counterterrorism, who resigned 2 weeks into the war and predicted what was going to happen because he had the Pentagon report. He was citing that. He still called a traitor and a piece of crap for being right. As the disaster gets worse and worse, as the black hole gets worse and worse around us. But first, let's go to Hegseth saying, oh, we'll just bomb them 10 times harder. Great. And Israel couldn't be happier because while we're doing that, they're grabbing Lebanon and Syria and all the rest of it. And they're like, oh, great. This is hurting Iran. This is destroying their economy. Great. And they'll hold on a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. Trump said, hey, it may last 19 years like Vietnam. Of course, Vietnam wasn't 19 years. It was 11. But okay, whatever. Who needs to know a history of war when you quote it? And again, this is just an untenable situation. And while we're distracted with this and lose the midterms over this, we got the Democrat socialists surging and anti-ICE riots everywhere and Muslims running around declaring victory over us. And they've got all the drag queen story times coming back and all the leftist evil. This is so sick. But, oh, Levin says instead of pushing away Israel, Netanyahu, embrace their military while they sit back and laugh that this is a perfect situation where America does our dirty work at the expense of America and all the rest of the world, and ha, 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 we don't care. I mean, why do they talk like that in public? I mean, much less behind the scenes. There's no need to catch the Israelis on secret recordings, but they just say it all out in the open. At least the ones running it are crazy. Disgusting. Loving being the villains. And they don't care that they're seen as the villain worldwide now. They think they have a stranglehold over our government and our military, so they don't give a damn. Finance Minister Smotrich, after the lengthy security discussion last night, the State of Israel has no interest in joining the contained confrontation between Iran and the United States. The current situation is best one for us. He said it's ideal. I just played you the clip. So you start the war. You start the war. And now we're supposed to pay for it and die for it and finish it and fight the last American and fight the last taxpayer's dollar. Wow. Let's go to Hegseth, though. The avowed Christian Zionist who believes that we will be victorious as long as they get trillions of dollars for the new forever war. Here it is.
Something no president's been willing to do. 47 years, they build up a conventional capability like the North Koreans did. Remember, that's how North Korea made their way to a bomb. So much weaponry that no one was willing to stand up to them. President Trump was, and it continues to this day. Iran's been given every opportunity to negotiate, to show that they're reasonable on the Strait of Hormuz. But if they're going to shoot at commercial shipping, then we're going to hit them, as the president said, 10 times harder. Which every night we're degrading them further and further, and the president has all the options necessary. If they want to talk, they can talk. Otherwise, they can deal with the War Department, and we're prepared to do blockade. That.
Oh, we're going to blockade it. Oh, we've closed the strait, because when they close it, Trump goes, we closed it. And I wonder how long it'll take Trump to say, we blew up all their missiles, they don't have any missiles anymore. I mean, Trump was our champion. Trump was great in his first term, comparatively. Went through hell to get back in. Was doing great the first 4 months. I hate having to sit here and call Trump out. But I'm not going to lie to you. And by the way, you already know 85% of Americans are against the war. Between 60 and 70% of Republican registered voters in Republican pollsters are saying that. 100 U.S. soldiers injured the last 2 weeks. And now Trump wants to say, oh, we're going to blow up Pickaxe Mountain that has centrifuges in it and then declare victory. Great. I wish you would, except the Iranians are going to keep the strait closed. You keep acting like they don't have any cards, Trump. You had all the cards till you stuck your pecker in the beehive and ours along with yours. And now Netanyahu and Ben-Gvir and Beelzebub Smotrich are absolutely celebrating and think it's funny. And NATO's got the draft in. Most of the EU countries already have it for women as well. They're building all the weapons factories. They're attacking inside Russia, thousands of attacks a week. And Russia's saying, all right, we're getting ready to hit NATO countries. And man, woo, man, a big old giant world war. You won't be worried about the banks collapsing then. You won't be worried about the Great Reset then. You won't be worried about flock cameras then. You won't be worried about that. Because it's going to be a full-on war, baby. When Johnny comes marching home again, hoorah, hoorah. Of course, a lot of Johnnies ain't going to come marching home from this. Nuclear warfare, toe-to-toe with the Chi-Coms, the Ruskies, Pakistanis, and everybody else. That's where we are. Woo! Isn't it just lovely? And again, within minutes of Trump, at this press conference that just ended, with the president of Lebanon, oh, we're going to get Israel out of there and get your country back to you. And the Ben-Gvir says, the hell you are. We're at least keeping the South. I don't care what Trump says. We ain't leaving. Woo! All right. And a lot of Christian Zionists are saying, Trump going to hell. You don't talk back to Mr. Gvir. You don't talk back to Mr. Netanyahu. That's like breaking a mirror, 7 years bad luck, or walking under a ladder. Why, the devil will bite you in the booty, Trump. The minute you don't do what they say, you're going to hell. But Trump's going to be good and do what he says when Israel tells him to. That's good. Yeah, the Lebanese president asked Trump to cross Netanyahu. Well, I mean, Trump said don't bomb Lebanon, get out of Lebanon, and Netanyahu says, have you heard of jumping in the lake? Have you heard of pissing up a rope? Have you heard of going to hell? And that's why I said yesterday, I think I'm about to take the Israeli money and just call for total nuclear war and the destruction of all life on the planet. I'm starting to like this. Of course, I'm being sarcastic. That's satire, but the Clippers took the clip out and said, Jones now has joined Israel. We told you. Okay. You guys love lying, which is fine. It's what you do. There's a lot of mental illness. The truth is there's a lot of evil on the planet, a lot of decadent people, a lot of special interests. And the Muslims all want to blow up Israel, or most of them do, and they're crazy, and the people around Israel are crazy, and the Christian Zionists are crazy, and the leftists are crazy, and the people obsessed with Israel and that only care about Israel attribute everything to Israel, so it's discredited when you're covering real things Israel's done. I did a report this morning on my report, my little 3-minute satire about, yeah, let's just nuke the whole planet. It's the best thing to do. I mean, that's what Medvedev did like 2 years ago. He goes, well, since you're going to bomb Moscow, let's go ahead and just have a nuclear war. Sounds great. He's being sarcastic. And like a third of the comments on that video I put out on X that I shot in my car before I went for a hike, when I checked it, it was like, oh, we noticed you put out the China talking point. I did like an 8-minute video, and 90% of it was about Israel out of control, just like the last 48 minutes has been. And then I pointed out that China stands to gain with BlackRock by our economy folding, because they're designed during this crisis to weather the storm better. That goes in a lot of energy research, because they're state centralized, so they don't care if their people hurt. And we're the ones that are about to collapse and go into receivership. The Chi-Coms won't let BlackRock do that. And I said, and the Chi-Coms are working with the deep state to steal elections. That's where the machines are made. I've been covering this for decades. And it was like, look at you covering up for Israel. There's no way the little Chi-Coms ever did anything wrong. That's mental illness. When someone talks about the different power blocks, you can't even see it or hear it. when I'm literally bringing you the clips of the Israeli minister saying, ha, 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 America's fighting and dying for us. And then there's levels above that as well, why the globalists and why BlackRock is so happy. But you don't want real knowledge. It threatens you. All you know is pattern recognition on Israel. So that then you can't even actually recognize how Israel fits into this because of the mental illness, because it's the only point you know. It's amazing. But here is Trump talking with the Lebanese president.
So if we left right now, it would take around 20, 25 years to rebuild. Okay? And we're not finished at all. But if we left right now, it would take them a long time, years. Years to rebuild, but we're not leaving right now. So we've had a big impact on Iran. If we didn't do what I did with regard to two things, the Iran nuclear deal done by Barack Hussein Obama, I terminated that. If I didn't terminate it, you wouldn't have Israel right now because they would have had a nuclear weapon years ago. And if we didn't do the B-2 bombers knocking out the nuclear sites, a year ago, one of the first things we did early in the administration, they would have a nuclear weapon, and you wouldn't have Israel, and in my opinion, you wouldn't have various other countries in the Middle East that all begun. They would have been terminated, extinguished. But I believe that by doing what we did, by terminating Iran, who's very evil people leading that country, you saw the number of protesters that they killed, 52.
And again, there's a larger clip. We already pulled the articles up where he specifically asked him to get Israel out. He says, no, Israel's going to leave. And then Ben-Gvir responded saying that's not going to happen. But we're live right now. We can add that in post when we post clips from the show up on X. I'm going to finish up with Israel and then move on to all the other topics that we're dealing with here and what the left and what the Islamists are up to and what the Democrat Socialists of America are up to. But again, here's Ben-Gvir. I guess it's not just X statements. Here's Ben-Gvir, the national security head in Israel, saying we're not leaving no matter what Trump says. So that's coming up as well. I mean, this is just an orgy of information. But here's Joe Kent, who was on the War Room yesterday, powerful hour-long interview with my son, Rex Jones, while he's sitting in for the vacationing Harrison Smith, who certainly deserves it with his family. This is a guy that warned Trump, the Pentagon warned Trump, the Joint Chiefs Chairman told him this is going to be a disaster. But Kent resigned to get attention to this. Again, just 2 weeks in. Now we're 144 days in. And now he's issued another emergency warning to Trump. I suggest you watch the whole hour, but here's an excerpt.
I've been advocating, you know, since I resigned for him to leave immediately.
Right.
And I've been trying to do so even more in the last, you know, 24, 48 hours since we've tragically taken more casualties. And the Iranians have once again proven that they can probably make this much worse for us. I'm afraid that if the president continues to double down, which it sounds like he's doing, we are going to face a mass casualty event.
Joe, how does it feel to be here 4 months later or 5 months later? I forget how long it's been, and you've just been vindicated, and we're just begging for it to stop, man.
Well, look, I'm not a big fan of saying, well, you know, I called it X, Y, and Z. I would hope to have been wrong. I hope right. that we wouldn't be here back when I resigned in March. However, even back in March, I didn't see a clear way for us to get out unless, like that last paragraph says, the president takes some really bold and decisive action. And every day that goes on and every tragedy that we suffer taking more casualties, the harder it's going to be for the president to take that bold action. But at the same time, it's going to become more critical that he does so. I've been advocating, you know, since I resigned for him to leave immediately.
Right.
And I've been trying to do so even more in the last, you know, 24, 48 hours since we've tragically taken more casualties. And the Iranians have once again proven that they can probably make this much worse for us. I'm afraid that if the president continues to double down, which it sounds like he's doing, we are going to face a mass casualty event. We have been very, very lucky so far. There's been tragedy, but we still have been lucky. I think the Iranians have the ability to deal us a mass casualty event, and we need to get out before that happens. Otherwise, we're going to be sucked into this thing to the extent that the president won't be able to pull us out.
Wow, that's a pretty stark warning. What might a mass casualty event look like? Is that maybe hitting some of these air bases? I know we have the KC-135s at Ben Gurion Airport, among other things. What are some of the risk factors that you're keeping an eye on right now?
Really, just keep in mind that when we're in the Middle East and we're not on our home turf, the enemy only has to be lucky once, and we have to be lucky every day, every second of the day. And so we can disperse our troops. We can try and move them around. However, the Iranians have good intelligence. It's hard for us to move around some of the systems that we're trying to fight with without that being detected. And so basically, the Iranians have proven time and time again that through their ballistic missiles and through their drones, they can reach out and they can touch us. I am very concerned that President Trump's going to be tempted to do something more decisive and more aggressive to open the Straits of Hormuz as the noose tightens on our economic crisis and energy crisis here, right, in terms of potentially him putting boots on the ground. But I am also concerned, you know, about our naval forces. Just think about it. Like, you can look at a map and you can see how far away Iran is from Jordan. It is a pretty good distance. So with those ballistic missiles that they fired that penetrated the air defense of those bases on Jordan that killed our soldiers, there's no reason why they couldn't, if they wanted to, use those same capabilities to take down some of our ships. And again, we have a lot of capabilities to defend against that. But again, that goes back to that same math. The longer that we stay, the more opportunity that we are giving the Iranians to inflict a mass casualty event on us. So we are basically just handing the enemy options by leaving our forces there.
All right, we're going to go to break. Come back with Victor Boot, the Russian military expert and insider on all of this and what's happening domestically in America and in Russia, how it all ties together. That's next hour. We have other special guests on other big topics. There's so much, but this is front and center. This affects everything. We'll be getting into it in great detail. Please remember, I'm funded by you. We bring you the best products so you love them, the best supplements, the best ultramethylene blue, the best bovine colostrum, the best of all, the very best supplements, the Shilajit, not sexy names, but sexy results, thealexjonesstore.com. And this is a flash sale only running for a couple days. Every order above $29 gets a free mystery T-shirt in your order. We have a new super high-quality outdoor Hatteras outdoor performance shirt, button-up, super lightweight. Looks like a dress shirt, but it's incredible. Quick drying featuring a genuine embroidered 13-star Betsy Ross flag and more. Now 1776 heavyweight shorts and more at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for your support. Whatever you do, share the live feeds now. Hour number two minutes away. Stay with us. When the deep state removed Richard Nixon back in 1974, he had the highest approval rating of any president since they started doing approval ratings in the last 100-plus years. And so now there's this rediscovery of Nixon, and he's certainly anti-establishment. So we have an entire line of Nixon 2028 shirts that are extremely triggering to libtards and others. And so many other incredible designs now available at thealexjonesstore.com. But whatever you do, visit the site, the very best supplements, amazing methylene blue, the best bovine colostrum, collectible coins, the very best water filtration, highest ratings for showers and for your drinking water. All of it is symbiotic. All of it's a win-win. All of it is great. All of it empowers you and it funds our operation. Please take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. But whatever you do, share our new news site with the live video feeds, the archive feeds, the videos, the special reports, the articles at alexjoneslive.com. That is the coordinates of the Second American Revolution worldwide at alexjoneslive.com. And follow me on X at Real Alex Jones, on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. You're the Paul Revere's. Tell them where the resistance is right now. You got all the power. When you take action, you're unstoppable. I salute you and I thank you. Now take action now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. They called me crazy. They called me paranoid. But now they know I was right. Tonight, more conspiracies that turned out to be true on this episode of I Told You So.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
America, it is vital that you don't fall asleep on Israel's creep into the U.S. military. On July 14th, the Senate's cloture vote on the bloated $1.15 trillion NDAA for fiscal year 2027 collapsed 50 to 46, falling short of the 60 votes needed. Senate Majority Leader John Thune pulled a slick maneuver, though, flipping his vote to no just to file a motion to reconsider and keep this monstrosity on life support. Buried deep inside are the infamous provisions, Section 219 in the House, Section 1217 in the Senate, sections that Representative Thomas Massey has rightly branded as an unprecedented institutional merger, jamming Israeli technology straight into America's weapons systems, slashing congressional oversight, and locking foreign influence into our defense industrial base.
In the NDAA, Section 219, which is going to start commingling our military supply chains and technology with Israel's, doesn't make sense to do that with a country of 10 million people. But they've got that in the NDAA. I'm told that's not coming up this week, but we know it's going to come up sometime, probably sometime soon. And so I've offered an amendment to strip Section 219, it was called Section 224, from that bill.
While Democrats torpedoed the bill, mostly over Trump's Iran policy.
No, the real danger to national security is this war that's out of control. It's this war that has alienated our allies. It's this war that has totally diminished American power and ability to defend ourselves in the world.
But the real Trojan horse, APAC Uniparty, pulled one of the oldest tricks in the book, dangling a shiny carrot on a stick while they rammed the dagger of surrender deeper into our sovereignty. In a razor-thin procedural vote, the House bundled the SAVE Act that includes the toxic Section 219 Israel military tech merger, forcing Americans to swallow the unprecedented fusion of our weapon systems, supply chains, and defense industrial base with a foreign power just to get basic election integrity. You aren't getting real voter ID without handing over control of America's military future to Tel Aviv. How in the hell is this national defense? The fusion of U.S. and Israeli military tech barely registered a whisper from the Mockingbird media. CNN, Fox, MSNBC, The New York Times, and the rest hammered the partisan gridlock angle nonstop, framing it as simple obstruction while burying the sovereignty-shredding details of this United States-Israel Defense Technology Cooperation Initiative. Outlets that preach democracy and integrity treated Section 219 and 1217 like it was invisible.
Breaking news tonight. The major health scare across the country is lettuce making Americans sick.
Meanwhile, Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton is quietly hammering another nail into the coffin of American foreign policy independence. His Section 622 provision, now renamed 619, is still buried in the Intelligence Authorization Act for fiscal year 2027. The provision is a straitjacket forcing future presidents to expand and enhance intelligence sharing across virtually every sensitive domain in the Middle East, with strict limits on any president's ability to pause, reduce, or restrict that flow unless they can prove a specific and identifiable national security concern. This stealth provision remains a quiet time bomb, waiting for leadership to push it through, likely buried in a larger package when the timing is right to strike. As of today, nothing has moved in the Senate. Thune's motion sits ready while horse trading drags on. But the House is barreling forward this week, with the Rules Committee deciding today on Massey's amendment to strip Section 219. Patriots are flooding the lines, but the bipartisan blob keeps pushing this deeper fusion anyway. This NDAA isn't about defending America first. It's about entrenching forever wars, drafting our children into a hell pit, scoring foreign leverage, and forever entanglement. This is no time to fall asleep. Contact your reps and demand they kill these provisions before our military independence and our sovereignty is sold off for good. John Bowne reporting for the...
Fellow Americans, I'm back. The Nixon 28 collection is now available, and I must say, it looks tremendous. Go to the AliceJonesStore.com and pick yours up today. You'll be glad you did.
Ultimate Power Drink Mix. The fantasy is real, and it's delicious. Visit the AlexJonesStore.com today.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
To hour number two of this global transmission, you are the Paul Revere's. You are Team Humanity. If you don't want to be in a global depression and a thermal nuclear war with the new bioweapon releases, lockdowns, AI enslavement, robot overlords in the air and on the ground and the sea, you better listen. Because everything I've warned of for years exactly is happening. Everything Tulsi Gabbard and Joe Kent warned of 150 days ago, 5 days before Israel struck Iran and drug us in. And now we've got Netanyahu and Ben-Gavir and Smotrich, their finance minister. I played the clip last hour saying this is ideal. The Americans are doing it all and paying for it. We started it, and now we keep the straight clothes, and it hurts Iran. No mention of the world. No mention of the fertilizer cutoff. No mention of the UN even estimating 50 million will starve to death with current numbers next year with a third of the world's fertilizer not going through. Half the U.S. farmers, the Farm Bureau reports, couldn't even buy fertilizer. It cost too much. Or the diesel. Russia stopped exporting diesel. Much of their energy system's blown up. Much of our energy systems now have been destroyed or disrupted. And if you look at Matt Bracken's map, and we got even more interactive ones, that's an energy war. 500 kilometers from Ukraine and Western Russia right down to Iran, the Strait of Hormuz is 500 kilometers, 700 total. That's an energy war right there, and that affects you. Trump promised to cut energy prices in half. Gasoline is double. Diesel's more than double. Electricity, 18% increase. This is a new world war, and we've gone up in the threat escalation ladder. New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal all said the war has escalated to full war. Many experts calling it a new world war. All the ingredients, major powers lined up against each other, multi-front wars, mass death, infrastructure of civilians being taken out, with robots doing most of it, air and sea drones. We aren't just a new world war. We are literally in a Terminator movie for real. And there's a normalcy bias. People just sleepwalk into this. I'm a very aware, awake person. Even I sleepwalk. Even I just sit back sometimes and go, God, you should be more upset. But there's the feeling of helplessness and there's no surety by design. Trump said they're out of missiles. Oh, yeah, they're out of missiles. Pentagon said they got 70%+ left, and they're making more. The Pentagon didn't lie to Trump. Pentagon told him, don't do it 150 days ago, but he did it 144 days ago. And now the Pentagon wants hundreds of billions more. It's costing $2.3 billion a day we know of. You know it's way more than 100 casualties. Whole barracks complexes blown up. They tell you three died. You're being lied to, ladies and gentlemen. Pentagon out of money. Red Sea blockade now starting. Pentagon sinking billions in Iran war, quickly running short on cash. U.S. strikes unlikely to move Iran, U.S. intelligence reports. The Defense Intelligence Agency, all the major military intelligence agencies said, this isn't going to make the mullahs fall. They told them that the week before, and Trump wasn't going to attack, so Netanyahu struck, and he's since bragged about it. So, I already played the clip, so I'm not going to play them again, but if Victor hadn't seen it, I'll play it. I got Ben-Gavir, I got Smotrich, I got them all saying, we're not leaving Lebanon, and by the way, you work for us, and we're going to take over your military with the Defense Authorization Act, we're going to primary anybody that doesn't like it, and we love keeping the strait closed, because that's going to hurt the Iranian people. Even though the Pentagon says they'll just starve it out like the Iran-Iraq war in the 80s, and there's no discussion of what's doing to everybody else. This is beyond sick. And then, if that nightmare isn't bad enough, there's one even worse. NATO and all their weapons factories shipping in more deadly drones and missiles, thousands of attacks on Russia, hundreds on Moscow a week, blowing up their energy system. Oh, Russia's just a country or gas station that's a country. Oh, yeah, like we are. And now their exports have been cut massively, which, again, hurts everybody. But not BlackRock, not the globalists. And they now are bragging. Oh, yeah, this is great. We're getting our great reset. Victor Boot joins us. That's my opening statement here. But we sit here and talk about the point of return the last few months, and I think we're basically crossing it now. Trump is leaning towards ground invasion of the entire Strait of Hormuz, which will be an unmitigated disaster. And then Trump said he increased bombing of Iran because some of our soldiers got killed. So I guess when they put them on the beach and they're all getting killed, well, we'll have to nuke them, won't we? And just hope Pakistan doesn't nuke as they said they would. Hope Russia just sits there. Hope China. It's just roll the dice. Megalomaniacs running around, foaming at the mouth. That's who runs our countries. And look in the mirror, folks, and you know it. The people running the Western governments are psychotic. The unelected EU, the national draft being set up. Victor Boot, real Victor Boot on X, former political prisoner, businessman, soldier, well-known, called the Merchant of Death by our corporate media, of course. It's absolute, just normal BS. Very smart guy. Also national leader, elected official. Victor, you just heard my rant. I mean, at this point, I can't believe this is even continuing. But we predicted it all. It's just continuing to escalate. So I guess we should talk about what's currently happening, and then you know even more than I do. I tell me if I'm wrong, but it looks like now we're off to the races. And if anybody wants to flee to the Southern Hemisphere, now's the time to do it. But if there's a full nuclear war, it'll just be like road warrior down there. So I guess it's better just to die here quickly. I mean, I'm serious. That's just where we are is commit ourselves to God and just get ready for this. Or should people start civil disobedience and do what I did to get the Clintons out, where I had people screaming at them in events, calling them rapists, which they were, and that had a big effect. I mean, is it time? You know, is it time for the citizens to pull legal and lawful stunts to stop this? You know, can the Russians do national address to the world and warn everybody? I think people would listen to that. Because it seems like we're all just sleepwalking into total doom. Victor, I know I have you on as a guest, and I'm ranting. I am just beside myself. Then I see the foaming at the mouth, crazy eyes of the Israelis bragging how they're slaves, bragging how they're in control, bragging how it hurts everyone but them, bragging how they're going to take all these countries. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I guess, anybody in the position who see the full picture would exactly like you ranting, because we definitely sleepwalking into this Holocaust of entire humanity, because we are in the World War III and everything is set up, long time ago. A part of the economical reset, which we talk, look, it's artificially and very well planned, not only pandemic, which will start running, 6 years ago, but now we see artificially orchestrated hunger. As you said, even in United States, farmers can't afford to buy enough fertilizer. Okay, count how much it will reduce the production of the wheat, soybeans, corn. Now, the same situation, because of heat and climate condition in France, they have a huge shortages of the produce. They will have definitely not the harvest of the grain like they expected. This apply for different other countries. Plus, because of Hormuz Strait was closed, there is a shortage of fertilizer in Africa, in Southeast Asia. So this is a huge, as you said, but it's a slow in process, because it will hit maybe by the fall, maybe by the early winter, real shortage of the foodstuff when we run out of the reserves. And this is number one. Second, as you mentioned, why on earth Ukrainians, well, I'm saying Ukrainians because definitely they received an order to start attacking on the refineries, trying to cut off and I absolutely convinced it was not for military purpose. They wanted that Russia would not export. So the price of the fuel will spike. They want to really bring to cliff the economy, world economy, and just push it. And this is what's happening right now. And as you said, the Israelis are in this situation, instead of saying, hold on, why we need to push America for this? Because they are in the neighborhood, and doesn't matter what, they will feel the consequences very quick. And if they are not attacking Iran, and Iran choose not to attack Israel, doesn't mean if they're going to support the newest attack of United States on Iranian infrastructure, they definitely will get the answer. Because Iranians always do, eye by eye. If you hurt, the infrastructure or electrical grid there, they're attacking, and I guess very, efficiently, American interest in the area. So where are we going? You're absolutely right. We're already in the hot war. And this hot war set everything. There is a single incident, single false flag unneeded to spark it. And then, as you said, it would be even too late to go to the southern hemisphere, because definitely will not help, because any tabletop games, and simulation shows if there is a false flag and there is a open Russia-NATO conflict, within an hour it goes to the nuclear exchange. And hope that the hotline between Kremlin and the White House will work, but I'm not sure, because with the position of the Trump and flip-flopping every time, definitely Russian leadership lost a confidence that he is calling the shot in the White House. Eventually, they need to call maybe Bibi and said, hey, hold this one, otherwise, everybody gonna die. I'm not sure who is in charge now. But at the same time, for us, Alex, now, at least we see the faces and we understand their setup. At least we know who is enemy of the humanity, who is pushing the 99.5% of the world population to the extermination. And it now depends on the position, as you said, of everybody who going to say, hey, and ask himself the question, do I want to die in the nuclear war? Do I want to see my children, my country, everything I was standing for, to go through it? Who brought it to us? What kind of the conflict was there which we can't settle by the negotiations? It's the same true for the Ukraine war. It's the same true for the Iranian conflict. If you look on it, well, what's stopping the United States to really go further than the Memorandum of Understanding? It's passed already so many days, but it was not even a working groups to prepare text of the peace agreement. So either it was just from get-go a decision from the Trump administration just to win a pause to go through the, 4th of July celebration and the World Cup. And when it's all over, immediately, a couple of days later, even the World Cup not yet finished, they went to, again, to attacking Iran. That's really, really, strange coincidence. But on my book, definitely globalist, this in the final, attempt to orchestrate this war, and because they feel they have the last chance to do it.
Well, here's the good news, and they even admit this, as you know. They orchestrated COVID, created the hype, ran it out of the UN and out of the White House and all of it with the World Economic Forum, got caught, blew up in their face, caused massive mistrust in them, and they'd always said we'll use a disease X for control or a war or a financial collapse, and now they're wrapping it all together. So the good news is the globalists did fail in their permanent lockdown that they wanted to basically keep in place forever. It backfired. So they're not invincible. But when it comes to all-out war, you said it, the last ingredient is a false flag. And Joe Kent alluded to that. He said there's about to be a big mass casualty event, and when that happens, the push will be for total war. He was on the show yesterday, and of course, he's veiling it a bit, but clearly the next ingredient is Israel to set off a nuke or something and say Iran did it or something along those lines. And you see the confidence of Israel and the wild-eyedness when everything's stacked against them. They got an ace card up the sleeve, and I'm telling you, I think it's a nuclear false flag, Victor.
Well, maybe, because at least now we know that the Israelis are in the front line of the globalist attack on the humanity. And this way we, if you would say this like 5 years ago, you would say, no, they're just trying to keep, they are surrounded by the enemies. They are surviving. They are, a very vibrant democracy. But right now we see how everything transformed so quick right in front of our eyes. As we discussed with you, I think we are, as we speak, we are living in the era when the democracy would be dead before we know it. Because, election become like, forget about election. Why we need to give our power back, We need to create a scenario where we declare the martial law, we grab the power, and then, we declare a dictatorship.
And that's what that's the EU is doing, and that's what Zelensky's done, and that's
correct.
Trump said, as you mentioned, correct, 6 months ago, I like that idea. So let's just pull back. You're a smart guy, and I'm asking you, looking at this, when I look at the Israeli leadership's behavior, and I watch their body language carefully, these guys for years, they are all acting like they're not putting on a confidence game. They're acting megalomaniacal, like they got, wait till you see this. And I just, when I look at it, because the final piece is how I make decisions, is I have a bunch of facts, bunch of numbers, history, past behavior. Then I look at body language, and I watch long speeches of these guys. I watch them talking to people on the street, stuff they don't think I'm watching on Israeli TV, local news. They are all looking like they are supervillains. I'm telling you, they got something sneaky up their sleeve. Obviously, you keep bringing up false flags. I'm not putting words in your mouth. Obviously, you agree with that. What do you think it is, and what should we be on the lookout for? And is there some magic, nonviolent, political bullet that could, would Trump with the opposition in Israel, or maybe he's totally controlled, just acts like he doesn't want to be controlled? I mean, how do we put the brakes on Israel that has the dominant lobby that controls Congress? Because, I mean, it does go back to Israel. Like I said, 5 years ago, yeah, Israel does some dirty tricks. They're not perfect, but they're surrounded, and, they're a great little democracy. I'm not really for it, but I don't want to blow them up. I wish they'd behave. Now they're literally beating their chests like King Kong on top of the empires where they're slaves and bragging, the Americans are fighting and dying for us. It's going to destroy them and destroy the, You know, the strait's closed. That's hurting the Iranians. This is perfect. We love it. I mean, they're up there laughing how, and Ben-Gavir's stomping around saying we're taking all of Lebanon and going into detainees and beating them up on TV and going, look at my gas chambers. We're going to kill everybody in these. I mean, I tune in. It's like cartoon level. They're obviously gone. They're like demon possessed or something. What the hell's going on here?
Well, first of all, let's imagine this scenario where how they can trigger, how they can put the false flag. Well, I guess for them really to push United States into all-out war and using the nukes, well, for them, the best scenario, orchestrate again the event, which would be very close to the level at least of 9/11. Whether it would be with the improvised explosive device with a nuclear, you know, like a dirty bomb in United States for one ship and blame it on Iran. And then, this would be outrage and without thinking they would, go nuclear over the Iran. So this, of course, will trigger Pakistan, China, Russia also to respond. And this is where, you know, then there is all, you know, breaks off and we are in unpredictable zone. And God save us if that time the direct quick telephone conversation will stop it right there. But as you correctly mentioned, Israelis have got their fifth column within the United States, and it's not only the OPEC who is strongest lobby in the United States, but also Christian Zionists who are now basically at least, they declaring that they can take bullet for the Israel or die for interest of the, Jewish people because this is a God-chosen people. And this all elements, when you start to carefully analyzing them, telling us, yes, we are basically right on the verge of this event. And we need to be not extremely careful. But the main question is now what we can do to stop it. Because merely exposure, like it works even several years ago, when you expose something, before they're planning something, usually they will just decide, never mind, we never plan it, we never this, because if you, expose them at the right moment, you destroy their plan. Right now, as you mentioned, they're megalomaniacs, and for them, whether you expose them or not, they're already in a such state of mind, they don't care whether you expose them or not. They just, like those lunatics, they go, amok onto the target. They fix on it. And there is no logic. You can't argue with them. They already decided and they go for it. So the only way, I think, this is the right moment for humanity to see what is the best way, how we can stop it. Because now the issue is survival of humanity. It's not any more issue. Well, yeah, there is would be conflict. You know, there is a certain interest. There is economy. Because believe me, if everything goes with the way it's going, within 6 months, there would be no economy. There is would be no international trade. There is would be destroyed financial system. And how it affects each of us? Well, very simple. Think of this. There is would be no supply of the medicine. There would be shortages with electricity, shortages of all equipment we depend now on. And then basically, and you mentioned it like what, 10, 15 years ago. Think what will happen if the big megapolises will stay without electricity. In 3 days, all civilization and humanity is over.
Victor, stay there. And here's what's so sad. We're not even being strong enough here. It's worse than we're saying. We're at the worst period humanity's ever been right now. We are on the verge of total destruction. I'm extremely excited about this. You know, we always have the strongest turmeric at thealexjonesstore.com, and the capsules are 95% curcuminoid. That is the strongest in the market. It's the very same great manufacturer that made this, made it as a liquid tincture, the strongest on the market, and even better than powder because there's even better absorption. Ultimate turmeric. And it's got a bunch of other amazing ingredients that are known to supercharge turmeric. I know so many people that Advil doesn't work when they have a sprained ankle or arthritis, but when they take our brand of turmeric, they go, this works better than Advil. And including family I've had that's like, well, this pill's not as big as my other turmeric. My other turmeric helps, but I got to take a bunch of the pills. I said, just take two of these. And whether it's my dad or my wife or anybody, they're like, wow, this worked better. Why? Because those aren't concentrates. Those are raw turmeric. This raw turmeric's 4-5% curcuminoid. 95. Okay? So we're very excited about this tincture. Just a half dropper a day. So good for your whole body. 95% curcuminoids. The liquid is better absorption. And this is 60 servings per bottle, so 2-month supply. And right now, if you're a subscriber, you just sign up to lock in at 50%, canceling time for free. You lock in at 50% off. It's 25% off for everybody if you just buy it straight off at thealexshowstore.com. The new Ultimate Liquid Turmeric Tincture. And it's got a bunch of other really cool stuff in it as well. Not just concentrated turmeric root, curcumin lunga, the strongest part, but ginger root concentrated, zingbeer officinal is the, I guess, the Latin for it, and pepperdine concentrated black pepper extract. All of it synergistically works together. 250 milligrams and just a half dropper of the turmeric concentrate, 12 milligrams of the concentrated ginger, and 100 of the pepperdine black pepper extract. Very strong, amazing product. The newest product at thealexjonesstore.com. Liquid tincture, superior absorption. Pepperdine inclusion is the difference maker. Turmeric without pepperdine is largely wasted. Most budget companies do that. Natural enzymes and things in the concentrated pepper get into the cells quicker. Triple ingredient synergy, turmeric, ginger, concentrated black pepper, 60 servings, vegan friendly, GMO free, gluten free, free of major allergies, natural flavors only, no additives or synthetic flavorings, and it funds this operation. And anybody getting the products, the other great supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, the t-shirts, the collectible coins, they're about to sell out the amazing shower filters of the highest rated, taking out the most toxins of any brand, at an incredibly low price, should be a VIP. Every month in your profile, it charges you $30. You can cancel anytime for free. You instantly, when you're charged, get $40 in your profile to spend. Special deals, special offers, and sales on top of all the other sales. Everyone should be a VIP. And if you're worried about some products that sell out from time to time, just become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on all future orders of that product as long as you stay subscribed. Cancel anytime. So become a VIP, become a subscriber, and lock it in with no commitment from you, but it's locked in for you if you choose to keep it locked in at thealexjonesstore.com. New Liquid Ultimate Turmeric, the strongest on the market. So good for your whole body and inflammation. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
You want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
All right, we're at the end of a cycle. It's a mega turning, fourth turning. All the top futurists, sociologists, futurist experts have predicted this. The globalists admit this is happening, and their old system's coming to an end. At the last three world government summits, remember when they denied world government, At Davos, Elon Musk video linked in on Zoom and said, look, I've met with most of you. I know you want to have a big war. You want to have a new outbreak. You want to use something like that to bring down the old system, bring in the new. You cannot do a big war with 10 billion people and nuclear weapons. And he said, we got to transcend this cycle, and the elites have to stop using crises to get more control. And a lot of you've already abandoned ship and are just trying to hoard money and run off to the middle of nowhere. I mean, he told them all this, and that's not going to work. Your wealth is worth nothing if you don't stabilize civilization. And that's what Musk, at least on certain levels, has been doing, though if he doesn't give the Pentagon all the satellites running a bunch of this, he knows he'll be thrown out instantly. But at least he's said and done things rhetorically and you know, tried to dial things back. And I'm not even lionizing Musk. I'm trying to explain to people, Victor Boot is very respected in Russia and around the world. He's not stupid. He's telling you what I'm telling you. I'm not dumb. And I already had the Pentagon report predicting all this, and I knew it was an accurate report because I know about the Strait of Hormuz and what the Iranians are going to do, and that all the past presidents wanted to go in there, and Israel wanted us to, and they all said no because the Pentagon said it's worse than Vietnam, 10 times worse than Iraq. It's got all these weapons, 93 million people surrounded by mountains. They'll close the damn Strait of Hormuz. If we build side pipelines, they'll just blow those up. And obviously the Russians and Chinese are giving them satellite guidance. And when we bitch about it, what do you think we're doing to them? That's what wars are like. When you walk up and punch somebody in the goddamn nose, they attack you back. And we are attacking people that have got thermonuclear weapons and submarines off our coast. And then the idiots call and go, we got submarines too. Yeah, we'll all die. Since we had mutually assured destruction, we almost killed each other a couple times, but it was never this close. The International Atomic Scientists Group agrees. The RAND Corporation agrees. Everyone agrees. I talked to military, high-level, low-level, special operations. 99% of them are against this. About 90% were against it when it started. They were just hoping it'd last 4 days, but they knew it wouldn't. Our military is against this. Okay? But they're there following their orders. And Hegg says to true believers, which makes it even more dangerous. He actually believes all this messianic stuff. And I don't believe in God. I don't believe in his interpretation. And so when I'm ranting here with Victor Boot, I need to get out of my comfort zone. You need to get out of your normalcy bias. What's a normalcy bias? Guys, tell them the definition of a normalcy bias. Throw it on screen. It's when you live in normalcy so long that when bad things happen, you don't know how to respond. The dodo bird's the perfect example. Out there on that island, never had a predator. Was all dead in a few years because the sailors would pull up. You could conk one on the head, bigger than a turkey, and they wouldn't even run. And one day they ate the final one. Well, I'm not a dodo bird, folks, and you shouldn't be a dodo bird. And the Russians lost 26 million people in World War II, the biggest death toll. They certainly are not dodo birds because they have it fresh in their memory of losing, what, a third of their population. When I sit here and I tell you this, I mean, I guess I should go back to Victor and just stop talking about the problems. As we all know, we predicted it. It's rapidly escalating. There isn't much more to escalate. We are in a minefield. We are in a fireworks factory with a flamethrower turned on. We're in a fireworks factory with a bunch of crazy monkeys on PCP running around with flamethrowers and hand grenades. Okay? And our elites have a normalcy bias. Trump is at the World Cup ceremony refusing to leave the stage. And then saying he wants the photo op and then smiling and leaving. I mean, that's frontal lobe dementia. I'm sure he's got it now. You have cognitive operations, but you have judgment problems and you start acting like a mean little kid. Okay. I've had family, the great people, usually happens to men, and the last year or two of their life, it's like you're with an evil 4 year old. Okay. And Trump is almost at the evil 4 year old level. And so I'll just say this, if the problem, and I'm going to ask Victor this, the problem is the Iranians know they have most of the cards. They want us out. We won't do that. They want $300 billion. So they're, and I think they should have discretion here because it's the unstoppable force, the immovable object. They're asking for things that they can't get, but I understand their position. I understand they say Trump doesn't run things. Israel will just sabotage it. So I guess their position is let's just go down swinging. I know I'm ranting. The time we have, I apologize. I don't want to just hand-wring here, but I don't see an off-ramp now. And the Israel lobby is so strong. Vance says he'd stop the war. Do we 25th Amendment Trump? The problem is the Democrats act like they're against the war, but they're on the AIPAC tit, too. They actually haven't stopped it, though they finally voted the current defense authorization down because they wanted to report on the war and because of the Israel deal. So I guess the answer is a bipartisan coalition. And we 25th Amendment Trump, and I guess that's what has to be done. Victor, what do you think?
Well, I guess majority of Republicans or Democrats, for matter of this fact, been installed by the same, you know, group who, whether you call it swamp or deep state, and they controlling all these guys who are pretending to be independent politicians. So that's why we don't see any attempt, or at least organized attempt, to impeach the Trump, or at least to bring the, you know, bill on the floor to limit all the capacity to start the war, because the Trump playing this, you know, pony show, telling, oh, it's only for a couple of days, then I stop, then, you know, there is a legal loopholes, I don't need ask the Congress for authorization or for the military action because it's less than 60 days and the polls is not counting. So this is in the one, you know, side of this story, but that's not only important one. Definitely Trump is not the final person who taking the decision. Yes, there is a huge Israeli lobby. You're absolutely right. But I think the globalist lobby, where Israelis now openly become a, as we said, you know, a hit squad of the globalists, at least announcing their plan and let them go and run, and using, you know, America as, you know, their big, you know, hammer to crash and get what they want. The problem is we see for past 4 years, Europe basically completely committed economical suicide. How are you going to push and prepare the population for the war? Well, make scenario. There is no job. There is a hunger. Where are you going to go? Well, if you adult man, you're able to grab the gun. You know, this is your gun. Go and fight. Where are you going to fight? Well, we're going to fight Russia. Why the Russia important? Well, we need to create scenario because I guess they prepare the plan. And accordingly, if we see how the Biden was, you know, stating this stage before 2022, and the Russia apparently, you know, strike first, they've been unprepared. But think of this, in this all, what we're seeing right now, that the Russian position was really very restrained for only one reason, because I guess globalists expected way more, you know, stronger reaction from the Russian side, not the limited military operation or special military operation where we've been for past 4 years, you know, like, you know, hitting.
Well, you said
and
it.
Hitting,
I mean, Putin assesses,
and
Putin assesses he's dealing with inbred psychotic royalty that runs the unelected EU Commission, so, and dealing with a bunch of crazy Zionists. And so where does that go now? Because now Russia obviously got its finger on the trigger.
Correct. And the problem is, at least for the 4 years, idea of the Russian leadership was, finally, look, you've got to have some adult in that, you know, daycare who gonna come and finally, you know, restrain these kids who start running and, you know, basically trying to burn entire, you know, kindergarten. That's what literally happening. Well, if this doesn't work, then we will see other reaction. But the problem is, again, the way to go to the full blown nuclear war is so short, as you said. It's not even, I guess, minutes. It's a, I guess, what, 5-10 seconds left. And here we are. We need at least responsible leaders who are going to say, hey, am I responsible before the God Almighty and before the nation for the future of the nation? Or I will follow up sleepwalking and destroy everything, my country, everything I knew. And as you correctly mentioned, you know, if before I was convinced that at least globalists, what is their main purpose? They amass the money. And as you mentioned just recently, Elon Musk told them, hey, don't play with this. Otherwise, you will, you know, basically destroy everything you have, because this kind of conflict going to destroy all wealth accumulated. And here we now facing, apparently, yes, there is a reasonable logic for those who would think, yes, why they will go for the war, because this definitely will bring a destruction of everything they have. But apparently, if you go as zealots, those people who are having their eyes, you know, like a zombie, they now more, you know, believers than anything else, whether they believe in God or in Satan, you know, with them you can't argue anymore. And here the dilemma we've got. And I guess this is maybe first time in history of the humankind, because our technology in such level that if, I would say, 1,000 years ago, okay, any local war, you know, will not hurt majority of population. Well, then we used to see the First World War. Yes, it's affected, but mainly it's affected what? Europe, correct? a little bit of the Middle East. And then we see the Second World War. It's affected way wider, population. But then the Third World War definitely will bring complete destruction to entire humanity as a consequence of the, this nuclear war. We will got a nuclear winter. There is would be no any harvest, no any sunlight able to go through. And then, who will survive that?
Well, let's talk about that because you mentioned it. There are about 480 big reactors, most of them over 40 years old in the world. There are thousands of other small ones, lots of secret ones. In all the studies in just a nuclear war between NATO, Russia, and the U.S., nuclear winter, several billion dead right away, and then the reactors all start melting down, bigger than Chernobyl and Fukushima combined. That rains down radiation far worse than the hydrogen bombs. That then gets into the southern hemisphere. You'll have also lots of people trying to break out and go south. It'll cause chain reactions, warlords, food giant collapse from the nuclear winter. And most estimates are within about 3 years, you've got a 90% or more world population collapse. People are worse than army ants in the, clearing out the jungle when they're starving. I mean, we're talking about the gates of hell being opened up.
Correct.
And people don't understand that the globalists are all running to Tasmania and up near the Arctic Circle in Canada and building underground bases and admitting it. Peter Thiel's run down to Argentina, and that's pretty smart. And they're all like saying, we're done. And then the average person, like I said, thinks Russia's in Mars or something, or Iran is, Pluto. And there's just this normalcy bias of most Americans, 80+% are against the war, 65% of Republicans or higher. But still, it's like it's a TV show they don't like. Well, I don't like that TV show. They don't, because they've had it good so long like dodo birds. But you said something really important, and I want you to elaborate on, because it's true. The Israel lobby, the globalists, all of them have gone from denying all this stuff to now they just brag out in the open, and it, almost like it's a talking point. Why do you think they're doing that? I mean, because then when I watch them, and they have a real demonic glow to them, particularly the Israeli leadership, are like lit up like jack-o'-lanterns or something. I mean, I'm sure you've noticed that. And all their bizarre behavior, what do you think is happening there?
Well, I guess, there is a shift in the universe, Finally, we left the one huge zodiac cycle and enter to the another one. That's why revelation happens. They can't anymore hide it. They need to reveal it, And this is where the, I would say, mystic come to the reality. And the problem for us that we have now this merge of mystic with the reality. Everything the scripture says, now we can see it's exactly like they mentioned. Step by step, we almost there. We have all sides of the, which was mentioned in the scripture, the final days, and we saw the first, horses of the
apocalypse,
which they show in apocalypse. And this is the, mystic side of it. And on the reality, as you said, we are in the comfort zone. As you said, I don't like the show. Let me switch to another one. Unfortunately, you can't switch the reality. And this is an issue. So, for us, either we awake and, something is built with our eyes. We can stop it. We can do what we need to do. But then we need to find the courage. We need to ask, hey, to whom really power belongs? Or they've been, basically keeping us in the dark for so long, playing with the democracy. Are we really have any voice? Are we really can influence anything happening? If not, then we're done. Then there is a little hope, unless there is would be resistance. But for resistance to form, I don't know what kind of the trigger can get this resistance to start organizing, start communicating, and start, fighting the globalists as all unite resistance. But there is only way I see it. And unfortunately, We're living in this, kind of the consequence of overtone, you know, what you call it, window, which was opened by the Star Wars. Basically, I guess right now this was a project exactly to prep us for this. And we are living in the right moment. We're living when the democracy on our sides, you know, transforming very quickly to the dictatorship. And this is a problem. How are we going to call? Whom we going to wake up? Whom we going to claim? Who cares anymore of revelation or investigative journalists? Who care what the people think of the politician? Who cares about the words? Because they now know how to manipulate any words. And we perfectly see them. And it's happening over and over again. Even these votes, or even Trump came, not because really he've got enough ballots, but because eventually elite says, okay, let's hit the brakes for a little bit, because Biden too quickly will push us to the wall. Let's bring the Trump, let him keep his foot on the stop pedal, on the brake pedal.
Or as Lavrov said, that they wanted Trump in there to act like or believe he was trying to stop it, so they could fool Russia into the long war. Because that's what people don't know, that the EU and NATO have all said over and over again. Oh, we're going to have a 20 to 30 year war with Russia. They'll never go nuclear, and we'll just continually incrementally attack them till they collapse. And then we'll have the living space, the Lebensraum, and break it in five parts. And they sit there on TV and say it. And then that's not happened. So they just keep doubling down. And we've got Mark Mitchell, who was the top pollster at Rasmussen. He left after he went to the White House and met with them and warned them. And he's got a secret project going. He promised he would come back here exclusively. He's not been on air in 6 months. He joins us next hour. Really smart guy. He's also been a CEO of major companies and is really good at predictions. He's going to be joining us. But, you know, some good news is, as I said, Laura Ingraham's a big establishment war hawk, all of it. She comes out and says the polls show Americans don't want this. Trump's going to lose. He better put the brakes on fast. And I see this with 90% of the Trump supporters I know, who are horrified about the Democratic Socialists and horrified by the Democrats, but understand this is existential with Trump. So again, the good news is 85% of the American people, 60-some% of Republicans, but we have to telegraph that. And we have the Israeli ambassador to the U.S., Huckabee, and I said that right, saying, well, yeah, we listen to voters. I don't care if 80% are against it. We know best. We're in charge. So at a certain point, folks, we have to restrain these people, and it needs to be nonviolent, because they're probably going to stage stuff and say anti-war people are violent. But at the same time, I'm now shifted into a mindset, because like Victor said earlier, used to we could expose them and get enough traction to stop them. And we did hold off the Israeli takeover of the military for now, though they're coming back. But my point is, this is too close. We have to debate and discuss how we turn the heat up. And if that means peacefully jumping on national TV shows and exposing the war, if that means parachuting into, I mean, literally pull stunts at football games to get a message out. And I'm not somebody that'll tell you what to do and then I don't do it. I, right now, I've done plenty of stunts myself. I'm cooking some stunts up. And the stunts I pulled on the Clintons, they sent the CIA after me. But I'm now in desperate mode. My brain is now shifted into offense stunt mode. And we need to have some debates and discussions about that. Because we just, and to our military, I know all of you are against us, 99%. We have to do peaceful, lawful things. We have to do it now. Here's Laura Ingraham. I want Victor Boot's take on it.
All right, Steve, thank you very much. And with the midterm elections a little more than 100 days away, the clock is ticking for President Trump to get out of this war before voters head to the polls. It's making a lot of Republicans nervous. It's already, as we know, unpopular. According to the New Washington Post Ipsos poll, 69% of Americans disapprove of the handling of this conflict. Republicans cannot let this become an endless distraction, especially if they want to win in November. Here to discuss.
And then we've got that full interview is coming up in the fourth hour. Guys, I think I sent it to you, but I didn't grab the full interview because she goes into it with her guest. So looking at that, what else can we do, Victor Boot, to counter all this insanity?
Well, we need to basically awaken everybody who is still asleep. And that's why they're able to sleepwalk us into this, disaster. And then, because we having this technology, which we never had, at least, 20 years ago, able to communicate with the everybody. You know, we can quickly spread the message among the entire humanity, what's going on. And then when the real resistance will form, we have to decide how we're going to restrain these crazy people who want to kill all of us. That's the issue. And once we realize that whether the Israeli population, those who are seeing it and don't want to see how this nuclear war will start, or, you know, those Europeans who are seeing why on earth their country destroyed, you know, damaged, population is replaced. There is no same life like they used to have. And as you said, sooner or later, the bias of normalcy will over, and then everybody be in the same mode like you, like me, who will say, hey, guys, we are past a long time ago, non-return point. The only way we can break before, we have no opportunity to prevent it. And this only, you know, prayer to God, you know, and we will ask him to bring some wisdom to those who are taking decision. Otherwise, we all die.
I agree. The most important thing is to every day pray for God to move his hand. But also, God wants us to then take action and speak out, but trust in God to take us the rest of the way. Number one is pray to God, folks. Pray like your life depends on it, because it does. In closing, I want to play, not the whole thing, I already played it last hour, but Smotrich is their economic minister. Similar statements by all their leadership. And let's just roll it with subtitles. And he's like, this is ideal. We got them in the war. Now we're going to keep them. It's going to destroy Iran economically. We're going to keep the straight clothes. Go ahead and roll it with subtitles, guys, that clip, so people can read it on screen. And it's just insane, the open arrogance, how it's ideal. We don't have to fight. We don't have to die. They want a ground invasion. They want us to die. And he says it's ideal that we die. We pay for it. Who cares about the rest of the world with the straight clothes? It hurts Iran more. I mean, this is such a selfish, cold-blooted behavior. And even if he did it privately, he'd be evil. But the publicness of this, and it's just all over Israeli TV. I got to tell you, Victor, it's shameful.
Well, it's not only shameful, but it's exactly what used to be like reptilian mindset. Look at these people. It's definitely only reptilian have no any feelings towards to other innocent victims and children. Those who are going to die from hunger. What their sins for? What kind of relation they have for their, you know, ideas and desires to grab more territory or control the world? Hell no. I guess we are not anymore slaves. We have enough understanding and access to information and to history to really clearly see where it's all leading us. And so let's hope that we as humanity, I said, you know, very quickly will self-organize to give a proper response to those who deciding that now we are just, you know, basically like I would say sacrifice. That they gonna
Victor, I know you got to go, and Mark Mitchell's coming up. A two-minute break. I want you to come back and finish on that and give us a brief update on the ongoing NATO proxy war with Russia. Big developments there. Final segment with Victor Boot. Stay with us.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most, to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best, and he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900 and let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price of the metal in the ground. Miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground. They dig their tunnels. They drive it to the refinery. They melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3 to 5% over spot.
We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is, type in what's wholesale gold and silver, and then you get it from them with a little processing fee, and then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation email. You call 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Victor has five more minutes because I want to get an update on Ukraine-Russia crisis and the Israeli operative, Laura Loomer's over there with Zelensky right now. You can't make this up. But Trump at the World Cup celebration yesterday, refusing to go off the stage as the head of it tries to drag him off, posing with the photo and then leaving afterwards, is indicative of, again, frontal lobe dementia, where you act like a kid, where you're like standing in front of the television. My parents would have people over to watch the Dallas Cowboys when I was like 3 years old, and I'd dance around in front of the TV. I mean, this is what little toddlers do. I'm not even trying to attack Trump. This makes me sick to my stomach. But you add this type of craziness, it just smells of nuclear war and death to have this guy in charge of all this. As Tucker said yesterday, he's really not in charge. And, you know, I said 25th Amendment, when he said kill the whole culture of Iran, glowing crater, that meant nukes. I said, if he's serious about that 25th Amendment, at this point, he has half-baked all this. It's a total disaster. And I just want to completely divide myself from Trump 100%, no matter what he does now, no matter how much good and other stuff. This war is too dangerous. This is all too evil. And I just say 25th Amendment, but that's me on record. I want to be 100% clear in front of God and everybody that I'm not with this demon-possessed thing or whatever he's become. And pray for Trump. Maybe God can reach in there and get the demons out of him. I'm serious. But Victor, in closing, give us a quick update. And I appreciate you, Real Victor Boot on X, on the real conflagration, even worse than Iran, the situation in the NATO war against Russia.
Okay, cool. Look, the Russia keep pounding Ukraine. Kyiv don't have enough interceptors, so the Russian army pounding the Kyiv and destroying all the targets, and they their Patriot system hardly, you know, one or two interception, if any. So there is a lot of damage done to the capital, and it's nonstop also destruction of the infrastructure, whether it's at the seaport of Odessa, where the Russia start also attacking for the first time all cargo ships going or docking at the Ukrainian ports in Odessa or in the same Black Sea region, which Ukraine's control. First, Russia succeeded to knock out over 200 the trucks and engines for the railroads, which is implicating their logistics, because 90% of the military cargo in Ukraine are moved by the railroads. This is number one. Yes, they try to hit Russia. They every day trying to attack Moscow. Past night, was over 300 drones, which is heading to Moscow, was intercepted. Three of them reached some suburbia in Moscow and damaged. There was injuries, this small destruction on civilian sector, and several people also, fortunately, dead. Plus, the Ukrainians heated our equivalent of the ozone distribution center, which is brought a huge pile of smoke, and this was a purely civilian distribution center. Despite they tried to claim, oh, it's work for the military. No, in Ukraine, Ukrainian logistics, everything of them, all their shopping centers works for the military, where they used to store the military equipment there. They use the humans as a shield and putting their, you know, system within the housing projects. Well, very important also for your viewers and listeners to know that the fuel crisis in Russia are now under control. There is no any more waiting lines in capitals of many. I just returned from the trip. So in many, many regions now, there is no problem with the fuel. You can refuel. You don't need to wait any more 3 hours. It takes you 5 minutes. Yes, there is several regions, but I hope within the week or two maximum, this would be completely sorted out. So Ukrainians never achieve their target, but trying to cause us a fuel crisis. That's basically, in a nutshell, a, you know, roundup. Plus, our army every day pushing the front line further. Yes, right now, the kill zone reaching up to 50 kilometers. Of course, it's a challenge. Even you pushing up to keep this zone under control, but the Russian army...
All right, Victor Boot, thank you. Real Victor Boot, hopefully we're here next week to talk and not all dead. Thank you, sir.
Lord Vader, the rebellion is exposing your lies. We are the resistance, and we're taking down the Empire's deep state machine once and for all.
Get this guy off my screen, 50. Clip 50. Guys, what's going on back there? All I wanted was Clip 50. I sent it this morning. You should have had it. I'm not mad at the crew. I am not mad at the crew, but I am mad at you. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and make the purchase now.
Lord Vader, the rebellion is exposing your lies. We are the resistance, and we're taking down the Empire's deep state machine once and for all.
Get this guy off my screen. Can we go to Clip 50? Clip 50. Guys, what's going on back there? All I wanted was Clip 50. I sent it this morning. You should have had it. I'm not mad at the crew. I am not mad at the crew, but I am mad at you. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and make the purchase now.
When the deep state removed Richard Nixon back in 1974, he had the highest approval rating of any president since they started doing approval ratings in the last 100 plus years. And so now there's this rediscovery of Nixon, and he's certainly anti-establishment. So we have an entire line of Nixon 2028 shirts that are extremely triggering to libtards and others. And so many other incredible designs now available at thealexjonesstore.com. But whatever you do, visit the site, the very best supplements, amazing methylene blue, the best bovine colostrum, collectible coins, the very best water filtration, highest ratings for showers and for your drinking water. All of it is symbiotic. All of it's a win-win. All of it is great. All of it empowers you and it funds our operation. Please take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. But whatever you do, share our new news site with the live video feeds, the archive feeds, the videos, the special reports, the articles at alexjoneslive.com. That is the coordinates of the Second American Revolution worldwide at alexjoneslive.com. And follow me on X at Real Alex Jones, on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. You're the Paul Revere's. Tell them where the resistance is right now. You've got all the power. When you take action, you're unstoppable. I salute you and I thank you. Now take action now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. They called me crazy, they called me paranoid, but now they know I was right. Tonight, more conspiracies that turned out to be true on this episode of I Told You So.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word. They built a system that could protect the world or end it.
They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets. Every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Reality starts here, AlexJonesLive.com. Tomorrow's news today. All right, it's got to be 6 months. He can correct me on the time, but Mark Mitchell is hands down one of the best pollsters, if not the best pollster in the world. He's also got a big business background as a top executive at major companies, so he has real-world smarts. And his polling has been the best. And election after election, and, of course, off one of our interviews last year, he got summoned to the White House to try to talk sense into Trump. Obviously, that didn't happen. Things have gotten a lot worse. We've been wanting Trump to succeed, but I got to tell you, the stuff I see, Israel leading him around by the nose, bragging they control him. He says they don't control him, but they do. Even the vice president's had to break with him. J.D. Vance breaks ranks in gamble for power. How about he's distancing himself? So he left Rasmussen, and this is his first big interview, and I'm very honored he's here with us. I really appreciate that. He's launched Honest Pollster at Honest Pollster on X and Honest Politico also on X and thehonestpoll.com, thehonestpoll.com. And I'm going to have that bookmarked daily. Always checked his X account 10 times a day or more because I like to tune into people that have a track record of being accurate. That's who I surround myself with. That's what I do. That's who our guests are, is the experts. And Mark Mitchell is right up there at the top. So, Mark, there's so much I want to ask you, and I appreciate you being here today. You're very gracious to give us the first big interview. I should ask why the hiatus, or is that private? We're very excited to see your new venture. You were the head pollster. Obviously, you're the head of Honest Pollster now completely. So your own ship. But Mark Mitchell, great to have you. Obviously, we're talking about Iran, the polls, even Laura Ingraham saying, punch out now, eject, eject. The numbers are bad. You were telling Trump before the slide started 8 months ago, 10 months ago about this. And then obviously what's going to happen in the midterms, what's happening politically, the Democratic Socialists of America, how they're winning and polling so well despite selling communism the total failure. So, Mark, great to have you. And I'm going to try to give you the floor, though. You know, I like to talk. You certainly spur my synapses, but I really want to get the big download from you. So start wherever you'd like. And thank you so much.
Well, first I want to say I really appreciate you having me on. You didn't have to do that. I wasn't really sure what was going to happen here, but I can't tell the whole story yet. But to give people an idea, I was silenced back in February, and my commentary had a lot to do with that. And, of course, as you know, Alex, there's people who, if Trump does something bad, if Trump betrays his base, you know, they'll play with the carrot. They'll form ranks. They'll try and glaze him. They'll try and, convince you that MAGA is still doing great. But in reality, people who have their eyes open can see he's running towards a cliff. He's making terrible mistakes that are going to upset people. And of course, we saw this all really start in a major way back in last July, a year ago, when he talked about not wanting the followers of his who were concerned about the Epstein situation. And that's when I became most vocal. And I'm trying to do this to help him. I think that his platform objectively has a lot of things that Americans need. And I'll tell you, polling is hard, especially now when the elections are so corrupt, especially when there's so much money and foreign influence in these campaigns. And I try to be accurate, and I think I've done a very good job. But what it's starting to seem like is that there are very few of us. Rich Barris is really the only other person I can personally vouch for. There are very few of us in this industry that will put the voter first, because polling is basically commoditized. And most of the pollsters you see are down in D.C. They've attached themselves to major political action committees. They try and lobby and earn their money through lobbying. And when you have pollster lobbyists, you start to see an incentive for the results to shape themselves to what the client wants. And I will absolutely never do that. That's the one thing I can guarantee people. And so for the last couple of months, I had to be quiet. I was given free rein for 5 years to rebuild Rasmussen Reports. It was in a very, very bad state when I took it over. Basically had no corporate leadership. It didn't have a pollster. They couldn't find anybody. They could only pay me to do it part time. And I objectively, in my opinion, saved that business through a couple of shrewd decisions I made related to their methodology, cut costs drastically, improved the accuracy. And believe it or not, in the 24 cycle, we actually made more money on my YouTube channel than we did in actual bespoke polling. And so
I wasn't going to interrupt right away, but you dropped a bombshell. We haven't talked. I've just begged you to come on. You politely said, not ready yet. I'll tell you when time comes. So I don't think anybody knew what was going on. I think you're disclosing this here for the first time. But wow, here's the vice president seeing the show, wanting you to come warn Trump, 8-9 months ago, whenever it was. And then suddenly the censorship comes in, which shows the powerful forces that don't want him to know the truth, or maybe he gave the order. And then Rasmussen says, I'm reading into this, told you, hey, stop it. So you, with integrity, you leave to do your own thing. Honest poll. I mean, give us the details. I'm kind of filling in the blanks here, but this is wild. I wanted to get you on about your foresight that's so amazing. But I was just as a side issue. Hey, where you been? Wow. That is a big story, because for people that don't know, and yeah, you're the expert, they don't just want you to change what you're polling so Trump doesn't get mad and wake up. It's also would become a form of deceptive poll when you take a credible pollster and have him put out lies. That could create a perception that what Trump's doing popular when it's not, like CNN saying 100% of MAGA agree with the war and they sample, what, 6 people in a phone call. I mean, so you might want to explain that, but go ahead.
Yeah, and we can go into some of the ways that people are deceptive with the polls as well. But again, it comes down to representing the voter. And that's what I care about. I care about George Gallup's idea of what polling really should be, which is like the referee in a democracy. And so if I get surprising results that say something bad about what's going on and like trying to predict the future and things are going to be bad in future elections, somebody that cares about the voter and cares about the Trump agenda and the things that he was going to do to fix America would scream loudly, doing something wrong, warning, like, stop attacking your base, stop contradicting people on the affordability crisis, stop going long 600,000 Chinese students. Like, these are incongruous with your base. And it's like when you're just looking at Trump approval and he's at 47 and then a month later he's at 44. It's easy to look at that and say, well, it's not like really a big deal. But at the end of the day, when you're attacking your base, when you're betraying people, you're really chipping away at your enthusiasm, your ability to raise money, your ability to get people to show up.
You were trying to get him not to commit political suicide. What, he's down to like 30 now on job approval. Correct me if I'm wrong, but just how amazing this is. You were the first 4 or 5 months in to say, no, he's going sideways. He's at a high at 57 or whatever it was. It's going to slide. And because you were so respected, yeah, they summoned you there. And I didn't know the inside baseball, because we don't talk off air. You just come on as a guest. And I feel like I know you because I follow your work. But wow, did you ever figure out who put the pressure to shut you up so that you wouldn't give Trump real information? That's like saying you want to unhook the gauges on your car so when it's overheating, you don't know. That is just retarded.
Yeah, right. And I think I delivered a pretty good message back in November. I was trying to give him a path to winning the midterms. And it was like, hey, stop focusing on foreign policy, focus on domestic policy, worry about the younger voter because you lost them. That he went from a under 40 Trump approval of 60% down to in the high 30s. And now these people like Mamdani. And explaining the whole idea of corporatism and how people don't want to hear about the stock market. And I said all these things to him. I said also about cleaning up the federal government and showing people draining the swamp. Show us that you clean the FBI out. And what do we have now is like people just don't trust the FBI. Trump comes out and makes a speech about election integrity. And everybody's like, well, I don't really trust the government to clean it up anyway. So I guess we're just cooked. So I went and gave that speech. And I think what was happening at the time is that the loss of Charlie Kirk really hit the White House hard because he was a moderating influence. And I think particularly around things like Operation Midnight Hammer, I'm just presuming that Charlie Kirk had a pretty big influence there in let's just say moderating our involvement. And after his loss months later, you know, there was an effort to get other people in front of Trump so he could hear voices other than the ones that he's been hearing from, which are predominantly Fox News people and large big business magnates and big donors. That's who Trump hears a lot of things from, and your Lindsey Grahams of the world. So that happened, and there was some stuff going on behind the scenes. There's a particular thing about a polling engagement that I don't really want to get into, but suffice to say, I was part of something I wasn't proud of. I never wanted to do anything other than represent the American people, but I feel like my work was used to misrepresent what America wants involved in, you know, the mass deportation program. America still wants mass deportations. They still want these people gone. It's still an economic signal. They're worried about wages. Wages is the problem.
Well, it's not just still. Now, 8-9 months later, everyone agrees with you, including Fox News hosts. So they must be getting some internal polling that is just murder.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have an affordability crisis, and I didn't realize it would take the world this long. But when you have an entire system predicated on inflation, you can't really meaningfully lower prices without deflation, which would probably be great for Joe Sixpack, but it wouldn't be so good for, you know, our massive, financially interconnected global banking system, right? But that's why, you know, focus on wages, get rid of the H-1Bs. Those are high-paying jobs. Deport as many people as possible. And we could quibble about the self-deportation numbers, but I think everybody would look at the actual, like, remove from country deportation numbers and say that these are a little bit lacking. And some of that is because I think that limitations have been placed on those people. And if I was involved in any way in placing those limitations, I mean, like, huge mea culpa, but it was against my will. But what I will say is that after that period, now we're going into January, I was very vocal, very, 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 very vocal about we should not go into Iran. This is not what people voted for. And most importantly, it was going to suck the oxygen out of Trump's political capital. We're going into, and I mean, it was
and
just
you specifically on my show said that the vice president brings you up there. You keep telling him. And just like Joe Kent and Tulsi Gabbard told them the world will be a disaster, you know, the mullahs won't fall. Now they put out another Pentagon report, just a copy of what he was given 5 days before they launched the war. And it said the mullahs aren't going to fall. And then he gets mad at people that do their job and tell him the truth. He's different than he was 8 years ago, even 4 years ago. What the hell, just as a man, a smart business guy, Mark Mitchell, what has happened to Trump?
I can only conjecture. I feel like, again, the Epstein thing was a very big punch in the gut because I've been following Trump since probably early 2016. And Alex, I don't have any problem saying I was one of the original frog posters. I spent hours a day involved in the Trump movement. I wasn't a pollster at the time. But again, objectively, his platform has a lot to like because it was the platform of a.
Oh, he was definitely a rebel. Outside. I was in a federal bankruptcy court. And walked out and saw Elon come out and say he's in the list and then saw Trump say you're an idiot if you believe it. And I literally, I've had family members die. I don't feel like this. I literally stumbled up to my Tahoe and almost threw up because it was all dawning on me. And I could already see the future. I already knew what it meant. And I physically almost puked. Go ahead. It was literally like I was punched in the bread basket.
Yeah. And I think he had the right platform for the 2024 election. He knew what America needed. And there was always a big question mark about whether this administration would be able to staff itself appropriately with people on the same page as 2024 Donald Trump. And I think it's fair to say that in most cases that did not happen. And maybe it's the best we can do and we're cooked and we'll just have to see. But like, again, I'm just trying to do the best I can. And what I can say is that in January, in middle of January, we did a set of polls that I'm confident in the results. And I know that they got to the White House and they were being looked at. And the most important question was, would you approve or disapprove of the United States using its military to help overthrow the Ayatollah in Iran? And in my opinion, that's a very fair question. There's no, it's not a push question. We're not baiting the people. It was only 17% strongly approve, 21% somewhat, and then 47% were disapproving, and only 28% of Republicans strongly approved. So there was not a burning desire to do this. Now, the problem is that you could cherry pick things to show Donald Trump if you wanted a strike in Iran. And I think a lot of people were probably doing that. Things like between 80 and 90% of America says, yeah, we should attack Iran to take out their nuclear programs. But the problem is when that, like, obviously to people who are involved in politics will become what the world focuses on for the next 3 or 4 months, when what we should be doing is using the last opportunity for Trump's legislative agenda. That was what this strike, in my opinion, filled the gap of. Like, we were talking about Congress laying out their 2026 legislative agenda, and then we're bombing Iran. And so any of these things, like, and I don't know if the SAVE Act was ever going to get passed or not. I know they don't have the votes for the filibuster, but we were going to, they were talking about potentially two different bites of the reconciliation apple, and that could have been a lot more of the MAGA stuff than what was put in the one big beautiful bill, because that was probably just sort of like, I think that was probably a Republican pork bill in order to, like, the trade was, hey, Trump, you want your tax cuts extended? Like, we need to get this bill passed. And it all kind of went downhill from the one big beautiful bill. So I know that these results were being used. The war was not popular. And also, even the tolerance for casualties is really, really low here. People are sick of these overseas forever wars where Americans die. If the United States needs to engage in military action to defend America's interests, this isn't even to, like, defend Israel. It's to defend America's interests. What would an acceptable level of combat deaths be for U.S. troops? 41% say zero. 10% say less than 10, so that's half the country. We're already there. We got there in like the first week or two, right? And then, again, this exceeded how long I thought it would take, even. And I don't think the world has yet coped with the implications for the American empire and the lasting damage that this may potentially have done to us at the expense of the domestic policy agenda that America was begging for and crawling over broken glass to get. They literally can't put food on their table. And then we replace it with something that is going to have continued ramifications that we cannot yet foresee on the global economic situation. And then also our strength on the world stage as a superpower. Like, are we going to even have bases in the Middle East right now if they could just be hit at will?
Well, that was my next question. That was my next question. Part of the Iranian deal they want is all of us to leave our bases. And Trump would never do that, but they've already had to flee most of the bases, and the ships have had to pull back 500 miles. So essentially, Iran is winning this, and then Israeli ministers, I played it last hour, joking, saying, great, we finally got America to fight our battles. Now we can grab Syria and Lebanon, acting like supervillains, and then a regurgitation of what the Pentagon told Trump 1 week before Israel struck and drug us in. Washington Post, Trump's been given unanimous intel that the mullahs aren't going to fall and that this isn't going to work. So, I mean, this is incredible. So I got to say it. What do we do about Trump? I mean, what does he think is going to happen? Well, I should ask you that question. We're going to break.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen in the midterms from the numbers you're seeing? Go ahead.
Well, to just finish, I mean, to get me up to where I was silenced,
yeah.
There was, after that, what basically happened is a February, March timeline where political parties allocate their political action committee spending. And for an independent pollster, that shouldn't be a problem. But in this particular case, it seems to be a problem. And so I was told to cease all commentary, even though that's what objectively kept us in the black for the 2024 cycle. And so I knew then that I had to get out and do my own thing. And I think it was the push I needed. I'm committed to the American voter, not to any political party. And we've founded the Honest Poll. We're going to put out public sentiment work. We're going to do polling.
Stop there. The launch of Honest Poll is too important. I want you to come back and take 5 minutes to talk about this, because I'm going to be glued to Honest Poll. I'm going to be like white on rice, or you know what on you know what. I am going to be all over this. We'll be right back. Honest Poll, folks. We'll give you the URL when we come back so you can bookmark it, thehonestpoll.com.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system. Even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen right here on The Alex Jones Show.
I went down to the Mary Carter paint store. I said, give me one of them Smith & Wesson Magnum 44s. Cause there's a man that the law let loose and justice was not done. This man killed my wife and my only little son. I'll never forget the way he looked all through the trial. He had his big name lawyer, and he had that smirky smile.
TheHonestPoll.com. Find it on X at Honest Pollster and at Honest Politico. Or Polco, excuse me. I can't even read right. Honest Polco, P-O-L-L-C-O. That's my dyslexia. I can speed read, too, but sometimes I just see things wrong. That's part of my weird brain. It's Honest Polco, P-O-L-L-C-O. Honest Polco and Honest Pollster. Follow both those as soon as I get off air during the break. I'm going to follow those. But I want to just say something. Mark's agreed to go 30 minutes the next hour. We'll at the end of the hour, I'm going to give the number out for like five phone calls. Specific questions for Mark Mitchell, hands down the best pollster of the modern age, because I tracked it all. As soon as he took over Rasmussen, it went from being in the doldrums to just roaring to the front. Everybody was like, God, this is incredibly accurate, and the analysis. But think about, he's on the show, he's making the rounds, the vice president sees it, they want him to come up there, it's a three-hour meeting, Trump's in part of it, Susie Wiles is concerned, the vice president's concerned, Trump, okay, great, leaves. And then now everything Mark Mitchell told him has come true. It was already true then. It's just more true now. Just worse. You know, it's like, you got gangrene on your big toe. Well, now it's up the whole leg. And it's the same thing for me. It's the same thing being called, you know, low IQ and fried. Well, if I'm fried, it takes one to know one. And I'm not mad that Trump calls me names. I'm pissed off that he has self-destructed on us. And so, I'm just asking, how do we salvage this? What's the angle? What do we do? I'm glad. I've been saying this for months. J.D. Vance needs to break with Trump and say he doesn't agree with all this. He did it on Rogan. Now that, you know, they're picking up on that. But that's where Vance has always been. And I think the Republican Party needs to divorce itself from the Trump brand of MAGA because, folks, the insider trading, the sweetheart deals, the dirty deals, even the New York Post is a total Trump glazing fest. Brown nosing fest said, my God, it's bad when Hunter does it and it's bad when Trump does it. I mean, they're putting Hunter to shame with the deals they're doing. Oh, but they get letters from the DOJ saying it's okay. I mean, this is crazy. And then Trump up in front at the World Cup ceremony for Spain won't leave. They're trying to pull him off. And he's like, no. And he smiles and laughs once he's for the photo and leaves. I mean, we're talking, they got a name for that. It's called megalomania. It's called extreme narcissism. Everybody overuses that term, but Trump is not aging well. And again, this is horrifying. I've been persecuted, sued, attacked by the deep state for this. And now I am just in horror mode, but I'm going to shut up now. Mark, start over. And I'm going to shut up for the rest of the segment and we'll take calls. Start over with the bombshell you dropped that they tried to censor you, controlled you. You left. You started honest. TheHonestPoll.com, TheHonestPoll.com, at HonestPollster on X. And now you're announcing today how huge it is. You wanted to finish up with why you did this and what you're going to do. This is amazing. I'm very honored you're announcing this here today. Please continue.
And I don't want to go into too much detail, but I will say that Rasmussen did not have commentary. I came and brought commentary to Rasmussen, and objectively it improved our financial situation. And not only that, kept us from going in the red multiple times. And every day of my 5 years there, that was not a problem. It was well appreciated until there was a conversation that was had with more people than just in our company, where a political action committee was mentioned and Trump donors were mentioned and my commentary was. And someone else's too, but I don't think I should speak. And 4 days after that, I was told I'm not allowed to do commentary anymore. My book deal was pulled. They fired my YouTube producer. And at that point, I realized the writing was on the wall. It really does come down to, unfortunately, if you're going to be a political commentator, you have to be answerable to nobody except for your viewers, the American electorate, and yourself. And so that's what I realized I had to do. So I spent the last couple of months. We have thehonestpoll.com is ready to go. I just have to actually go into the field with my first national poll, which I plan to do this week. We're going to do at least monthly tracking polls. We're going to do a lot of work getting at to it. The real topic that I'm concerned about, and something that we should talk about, is capitalism versus socialism, because this is not an area where there's a lot of nuance on the right. And if they don't figure this out, they're just going to generationally be cooked. Like, they are going to be absolutely destroyed. And I can go into polling. But you would ask about the midterms, and
well, I mean, go where you want to go first. Go where you want to go first. Let's Democrat socialists first, if you want to go there, because I agree that's the big threat. The boomers are blind to that. They don't understand the young people didn't live through the Cold War. They don't know what communism is. They're just hearing a free deal. A lot of these voters went for Trump. He betrayed them. So they're just desperately hitting the, you know, the panic button. Go ahead.
Well, that's the future. We'll go into that as the future. So the midterms, it's very tough to predict what's happening. I would say if you'd asked me 2 months ago, the generic ballot polling looked like, despite all of the gains that the Republicans made with redistricting, they still could potentially lose a decent number of seats. Now, what's weird is that over the last 6 weeks, there's been an uptick in generic ballot polling. Rasmussen's last generic ballot poll was +4 for Democrats, which was a narrowing. Although Rich, I think, has the Democrats sitting at about +8 or +9 right now. Rich Barrett, People's Pundit, very good pollster. So the Democrats are probably somewhere in there, which means with redistricting, they might get like a moderate edge. But then there's a lot of like added confounders that are very tough to predict. And everybody says, well, look how much money the Republicans have. Well, every single one of those analysis overlooks the fact that Act Blue, that over 3 years ago had a James O'Keefe expose on the money laundering, the allegations, raised $2.4 billion starting at the beginning of Trump's term, since, and a lot of that money is going to be used.
Where are the indictments? That's a big thing. In fact, one of the main things I hear is not even the border or even the economy. Those are the other big ones, or the war. But one of the four horsemen is, where is the justice? Where are the indictments?
That's right. And if you look at, it's like, okay, well, you're going to have this money disadvantage. Democrats also, I just looked, the Kamala Harris voter in 2024 has a 10-point very excited to vote advantage over the Trump 2024 voter. That's going to have some impact. And then you also have the problem that almost every single one of these analyses of redistricting is looking at 2024 benchmarks. Well, that's how Trump did when he was on the ballot. That's not necessarily how Republicans are going to do when Trump's not on the ballot. And history has taught us over the last year and a half that in every one of these special elections that the Republicans are underperforming significant margins, not only what Trump did, but also what the polling says. And this gets back to like one of the other problems I'm seeing. So we've seen last couple of weeks an uptick in generic ballot support. And some of that could be like, well, it's the 250th anniversary and gas prices are coming down and it's the summer and everybody's kind of chilled out. But you don't see a corresponding increase in Trump net approval. And so that's what's kind of weird. And okay,
remember, you're a smart political scientist, so dumb it down for us. There's always headwinds for the incumbent party in the midterm before the election, you know, after they've won both the House and the Senate. So we already have headwinds. You add to that Trump making statements like, what do you care about the economy? No, I don't care about the average American, the economy. I care about war. I don't care about Social Security and Medicare. I care about war. I mean, if the Democrats could come up with things to put in his head to say to hurt him and the Republicans, he's been doing it. I mean, I would see him go down multiple points every time he did that.
Yeah, and I think in the old politics, all things being equal, people would look at this cycle and say, well, there's reasons to think that Republicans could buck the historic trend of the Congress flipping right after a presidential election. And the problem is that all things are not going to be equal. The Democrats are going to have a significant amount of money. They're going to have an enthusiasm edge. The redistricting, you know, we have this whole mismatch between Republican voters and Trump voters. They're two different things. And then you have all of the circular firing squads that are going on the right. They're engaging in a process that Rich and I have coined purification by subtraction. And they really want to maintain this unified, cohesive view of what the MAGA movement looks like. And they'll do it by kicking people like you out of the movement, Alex. And that's not the way that politics is supposed to work. You're supposed to try and maintain the coalition that you built. But we're also like losing, you know, small business owners and workers by doing things like continuing to import.
Well, sure. But since you raised me, I'm an expert on that. I can tell you, I didn't mind being attacked, except I knew what it would mean. Calling the biggest talk show hosts, we're not influencers, calling the biggest journalists and pundits, saying you're excommunicated was just like saying, if you care about Epstein, you're not MAGA, you're an idiot, you have a low IQ. it was as big a turnoff for everybody, just a reminder of that. And I knew what it meant is he threw in with Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro, who both have flatlined. So he bet on the most unpopular, vestigial midget neocon Israel First wing and said, tune into Mark Levin. That's my brain. I mean, again, if you were trying to destroy yourself, you couldn't do a better job. I wasn't horrified he was attacking me. I was horrified by the idiocy of the move, Mark.
Well, exactly. And for your viewers who, you know, followed you through this whole process of supporting Trump only to see this kind of thing happen, only to see
exactly
the frustration.
We're all being betrayed together. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And so again, looking at the polling, it's like, okay, it could be a toss up and people are putting Senate map projections out that range anywhere from Republicans plus two to Democrats plus a few. The problem there is you have to be up seven to be tied in the Senate. And so we're not really going to have the Senate. And it's a coin flip, I guess, at this point about whether we'll have the House or not. But the risk is very big for the Trump movement. If the Democrats get in control of the House, it's probably going to be wall-to-wall hearings, like all the things we thought we were going to see, COVID accountability hearings, Dr. Fauci being hauled in front of Congress, Act Blue hearings, like weaponization of the FBI hearings, like all these things, auto pen stuff, all that stuff went by the wayside. We're not prosecuting any of those things. And the Democrats are probably going to do it because there's stuff that's going on, for instance, in like antitrust and with pardons that people have. Like there are enough things there for Democrats to basically completely derail the rest of the Trump administration. Now, even if Republicans maintain a thin majority, we're not even getting much in the way of a legislative agenda through anyways. We're getting like Elizabeth Warren bills through. And at this point, you have to wonder with the Republican Party pushing things like stealth farm worker amnesty, like, are they even trying to win? And a case could be made, no, because I've always assumed that the establishment Republicans really are just put off by Trump. Like, it's a confounder that gets in the way of their grift where they make their donors happy and get bought off by pushing things through Congress, you know, the way they want it without any real, like, person looking up for the American people. Like, I think that they just want to get back to that. Now, irregardless of what happens, I think what you're going to see after the midterms is a natural like loss of political capital of Trump. People are already talking about that happening just because the way that he's talking about the Iran strike seems to be the kind of thing that you would do if you just want to make everybody tired of you. Like, how many times are we going to unleash unstoppable hell on Iran between now and the midterms? People are just going to get tired of it and not want to hear anymore and just don't want to hear him talk. And it'll take some people longer than others, but increasingly you're going to see that. And especially if he loses control of the House and the Senate, people are just going to assume that mostly his entire political journey of like over 12 years now is just cooked and done. And then they're going to start thinking about MAGA. And I had this conversation with J.D. Vance last June, I think now at this point. And I asked him, I said, look, there's going to be a time in the not too distant future where people look at MAGA and say, well, MAGA is just whatever Trump wants it to be. Because he'll take MAGA and turn it into Mark Levin. And so at a certain point, it doesn't create an ideological core for an effective political movement. I think that's fair to say. And so I ask, like, what's the future for MAGA? Is it a Republican thing? And how do you redefine it? And what should it stand for? And his answer to me was economic populism. And I think he's 100% right. That's what America needs right now. We've had too much corporatism. We've had too much corporate capture and corporate welfare. We've had a Republican Party that's been co-opted by big business interests, and they're not going to win unless they fix this. And I, you know, we talked about what that would look like. And unfortunately, as far as I know, he's really the only authentic economic populist national political leader we have. Like, I just don't think there are that many of them because everybody's tied up by the military industrial complex or big ag or big pharma on the right. And, you know, in order to do that, like one of the things we talked about is there probably needs to be new flows of capital on the right because so much of that is allocated based on, you know, these power brokers, and it goes to the vendors who they say it goes to, and they get to control what the establishment Republican thinks by allocating donor bucks. And right now that's what's happening. We're taking a lot of Israeli donor bucks and we're funneling to the people that are good and not the people that are bad. We're taking, you know, donor bucks from big businesses that want mergers.
Well, that was my next question. What happens to AIPAC? It's thrown its weight around. It's primaried people. It's bragged, but it's uncloaked itself. Now it's trying to merge with the U.S. military and the Defense Authorization. but it's caused a mass awakening. Yeah. How does the Israel First wing that's kind of taken over from the neocons and the rhinos, how is it going to fare in this? Because it may be able to buy off influencers with a couple billion dollars, but at the end of the day, it is as popular as cancer. I don't see this marriage going well, especially when Trump's a lame duck.
So the Knesset 2026 Hezbollah budget, $730 million in a 12-month period, is, I think, unlike anything we've ever seen before when it comes to foreign influence. And as far as I know, that's just one program. That's not the sum right. total of foreign influence coming from the state of Israel. And already we're starting to see effects of what that does on places like Twitter. And I mean, just trying to think like objectively, I don't think that it's having the effect that they think it's going to have.
By the way, slow down. $730 million was the tranche they did 2 months ago. It was $500 million about 12 months ago. And then now we've got $45 million for AI text messages. That's out of the Israeli news, Ynet news. And like you said, that's just the official government doing billions of funding domestically. If the Russians were doing this, it would be called espionage. And again, I don't have a hard on for Israel, but this is outrageous. Go ahead.
Yeah, and you know what? You'll see a lot of people try and, paint other foreign countries as the bad actors by taking apples and oranges and trying to compare them. And I see that all the time. And it's not an authentic argument. Like, that's what I want to get back to, is that the internet, especially Twitter, is the marketplace of ideas. And so you see a lot of arguments that just don't hold water. And so, like, long term, I don't think that this money is going to have the outcome they think it's going to have if their goal is to co-opt the Republican Party, make the Republican Party a winning force that represents the American people. It's just not going to work. Now, if their goal is to drag out the Iran strike for another couple months, I don't know, like maybe it's like a feedback loop that is getting to Trump or something somehow. Like maybe that's how people like you got grouped into what is very clearly like a capture, separate and kill like thing. You know, like they're trying to carve out the parts of MAGA that they don't want here and then attack them with a unified front. And like, it's very clear that this psychological operation is going on, is being funded, and it's gross. And like, again, I don't think it's going to be effective for them at all. I think it's actually speeding up a process that I think defines the future of politics. And we've talked about this before. And this is the fourth turning. And even since the last time you and I talked about it, I think we've seen it progress. And I'll go over the socialism numbers here. So basically what you have is that, you know, your baby boomer, even though a lot of them are liberal, your baby boomer does currently define the Trump movement because they watch so much Fox News, right? And the baby boomers between now and the 2028 election are going to die off somewhere in the order of 2 to 3 million of those voters are going to die in the baby boomer generation. At the same time, you're going to have 3 to 4 million people enter the electorate who are 18 and first-time voters and getting all of their news, not from Fox News, but from the internet. And every year after that, this pace is going to accelerate. You're going to see less boomers in Congress and the Senate, and politics is going to flip really fast. Now, I just felt like this is a very simple question. It's one that everybody tracks, and we've been tracking it very close. Which is a better system, capitalism or socialism? And socialism is up to 27, capitalism's down to 49. But I'm just going to go through the age brackets here. Capitalism, 65 and older, 65%. 50 to 64, 58%. 40 to 49, 44%, loses the halfway mark under the age of 50. 30 to 39, 34%. And 18 to 29, the Zoomers, only 27% of Zoomers will say that capitalism is a better system. And that's because they can't buy a house. The women are crazy. They get shut out of jobs because of DEI, and they can't even go pick crops because the Republican Party is pushing through infinite H-2A worker visa programs, right? And so you're going to see this continue to accelerate. And incidentally, the numbers for Israel support are almost identical to these numbers for capitalism. And so you're seeing a younger generation, even the under 40 Trump voters, over half of them would say they would actually vote for a socialist. So Trump didn't win because of like Reagan conservative values. The people that pushed him over the edge, the big coalition, the people that bounced first were people that want order. They want law and order. They wanted DOGE. They wanted rationalization of our economic system. They wanted economic populism. They really just wanted to be able to get a job and have a family. And they can't. They've been completely shut out. Every year that age gets higher. We're looking at average homebuyer prices that increase by 1 year every year. The chart gets older, right? And so our entire economic system has basically had a wrench thrown into it. And of course, it's the two-party globalist, financialized Federal Reserve-backed system where asset earners get all of the spoils of war, and Trump is leaning into those people. Remember Dow 50,000, like that's the golden age, and it's objectively not to these people. They don't care about the stock market. They want to be able to afford a house, and they can't. And so this is why they're voting for socialists. And again, they're not very socialist. The Zoomers only say 43% say socialist. They don't really, but they don't care about these values or ideals. They're just going to keep rolling the dice until they get somebody that fixes these things. And you know what? You already put these people through COVID. You already made it so that they can't apply for a job and get a job. You've basically turned their chances of having like a normal relationship with a spouse on its head through the feminist movement, completely like undermined America. They've destroyed basically every institution. People don't trust the church. They don't trust the federal government. So they have no trust. They're unhappy. They feel like they've been shut out, and they're going to get power. They are going to get power, and they are going to go after the Republicans first, because the Republicans are basically the old heads that don't get it. The Republicans, by doubling down on boomer capitalism, by doubling down on the stock market stuff, by doubling down on corporatism, are making themselves a huge target.
Oh, and the boomers, like, okay, on average, and boomers call and say, I'm saying, I'm talking about in general, folks. It's like saying the majority of violent crimes committed by young black men. Most blacks don't do it. We're not singling out all blacks. We're saying this is the demographic. Boomers, on average, are selfish and delusional and live in their own world, and they don't know the left's going to take over and euthanize your asses. I mean, we are facing a communist takeover, and you try to warn them, and they think it's funny, and they have no idea. I totally agree with you. I want to give the number out for callers to ask Mark Mitchell, one of the best pollsters in the world. Now we learn, basically blocked and censored, so he left Rasmussen that he headed in polling, took it to number one. Incredible. Now he's launched thehonestpoll.com. Follow him on X at Honest Pollster. Absolutely essential and honest poll code, meaning political company. The number to join us, we'll put it on screen here for everybody, is 512-266-0642. Dial your country access code if you're calling from outside the U.S. 512-266-0642. 512-266-0642. And I'm so upset about the Iran thing exploding and everything going completely insane, what we knew it would, that I have only plugged once today. That's how we fund ourselves, thealexjonesstorelive.com. It's rumble.com/thealexjonesshowlive. Our shopping cart is thealexjonesstore.com. That's how we fund this. It's you. We don't get the Israeli paycheck, the Republican paycheck, the Democrat paycheck, because if we did, they could control us. That's why a direct sale, great supplements, T-shirts, books, films, you know, silver coins, knives, great water filtration, highest rated at low prices. I just sell you stuff I use, stuff I like. Hey, I think I'd like this shirt. Hey, this is a high rated water filter at a lower price. Hey, I love this turmeric. Hey, I love this methylene blue. Hey, I love this T-shirt, you know, that says Rebel Scum since 1776. You know, make Orwell fiction again. More 1776, less 1984. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. And the whole reason we operate, you call in thanking me all day. Hey, look in the mirror, baby. I need your support. I need your word of mouth. I need your prayer. We're changing the world. We're reaching tens of millions of people a day, but we're powered by you. You want to know who my special constituents are? You want to know who my lobbyists are? It's you. And so, like Mitchell said, his audience is himself and his conscience. Well, at the end of the day, my audience is God. I'm going to say whatever I think is most accurate, and may the heavens fall as long as justice is done. We'll be back with your phone calls and more with Mark Mitchell.
At last, it's here. Bring it into the docking bay. Stack them all in my chambers at once. I now have all the AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter shower heads from the Alex Jones store.
There's something about this water I feel kind of funny.
Hey, do you want to hang out tonight?
These stormtroopers are not warriors. They are vessels. We keep them full of chemicals to keep them under control. Like the dark side itself, it dulls the mind. It fractures the will.
Drink your water, troopers. I am sending you to the desert planet of Tatooine. We must crush the rebel force.
Dude, I think I'm gay. Me too. Let's go back to the ship and cuddle. I thought you'd never ask.
Turn around now and get back out there. These are your orders.
They're turning the frogs gay. Don't let them turn you next. Ha ha ha. You have to admit that Alex Jones is funny.
AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time.
You can run on for a long time.
You know, I'm not trying to be doom and gloom here, but we have the rise of hardcore communists who want to abolish the Senate, get rid of most private property. They want to get rid of prisons. They already have the Soros judges and prosecutors that let literal murderers out that, like, kill our reporter. You've got a lot of the young people, a lot of them are really smart, but the others don't even know how to tie their shoelaces. So that's why they're saying can't find their ass with both hands. And you have the Republicans, like Mitch McConnell's been gone forever. They've got new fake proof of life stuff. They put out fake AI photos of him that are confirmed fake. I mean, the establishment's not even trying anymore. And then you've got all this insanity, and it, you can see where it's going. And it's not like the normal corruption. This will collapse society. This will start a nuclear war. So, Mark, this is a short segment, long segment coming up to take some calls. But what else is on your radar screen while for 5-6 months you've been on, you know, radio silence while you were gearing up to launch your new venture where you're the head honcho and you can't be censored as you were over at Raspi's? And so sad to hear that, but it's par for the course. That's thehonestpoll.com on X at Honest Pollster. What else is big stuff on your radar? And if Trump got religion and woke up, is it possible for him to turn back 3 months from the midterms and pull his bacon? Or does he realize how the Democrats are going to come on him like the four horsemen of the apocalypse when they win the House and probably the Senate?
Oof. So I just think the window is too small now. And I thought that even it was a challenge back in November. And the advice very much focused on people want to see a plan. People want to see a cohesive strategy that acknowledges the problems that they have. Do not talk to me about affordability. No, I understand that you can't afford things, and here's what we're going to do to fix it. And even then, I thought the window was too small to get all of it done. But the idea is to show that MAGA, combined with the Republican Party, and actually move the ball downfield in a certain direction. Give people a light at the end of the tunnel. I said to him, show people the golden path, not the golden age, because the problems are too big to get us there now. But to get there, it's like the junkie. You have to acknowledge that you have a problem. And our problem is, like, major corporations completely control our government and the economy. Like, the trickle down thing doesn't work anymore. And we basically have trickle down tax cuts going on in the MAGA movement. But it's like combined with mass immigration, combined with ridiculous runaway inflation and the ability for large corporations to just get whatever they want, there is really no worker party, and that's what we need, because the problem we have is suppressed wages. They have not been keeping up with inflation. So I said, show the American people that we're going in this direction, and also with the government accountability. Now, the problem is that at this point, if Trump came out and said, well, here's my plan to show that Republicans are going to govern, and here's what America looks like in 20 years.
No one's going to believe it.
Nobody's going to believe it. That's 100% it. Nobody's going to believe it. And then you also pragmatically have the problem of, I still don't understand how you extricate yourself from this Iran situation in a way that doesn't in some way like just hang over you like a pall. Because even if we walked away now, Iran controls the global energy markets. We still haven't seen the knock-on effects of the fertilizer stuff. And now we're starting to, like, you know, have some friction with China. Like, it's just there are more problems, not less. And America had major existential, like, problems.
And we're not being negative here. We're admitting brace for impact. I mean, it's like you drive through a green light and a guy runs a red light and you turn to your wife and say, look out, because, I mean, you're about to get hit. I mean, that's where we are.
Yeah. Well, I want to be optimistic. I'm not necessarily saying that everything – we're going to be shooting each other and I'm going to be serving in the same platoon as you in the next civil war. Like, I don't think we're there yet. That's obviously a very potential future. But all the fourth turning tells us is that there's going to be a period of political upheaval where people's values change. And I think we're seeing that now because people's values are changing very much. These younger people, they want to be looked out for. They think they haven't been. They want to step into their own leadership role. They want to build their own institutions. They're sick of the stuff that we have. They want to cast all that stuff away. You can see it when you talk about the World
War II Foundation. Mark Mitchell, this is so important. 60 seconds, let's come right back to this. I was about to go there. We're simpatico.
Thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum has been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at the AlexJonesStore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is AlexJonesLive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back.
Front lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones.
Well, about 20 months ago, President Trump was president-elect, about to be sworn in. 19 months ago, and for the first time in U.S. history, the Republicans only came along with Lincoln. Before that, it was the Whigs, the two-party system, Democrats and Whigs. Republicans were the dominant main party, and Republicans were now the party of the working class. All the polls showed it. And that great opportunity has been thrown overboard. So the working class, mainly the young people, are saying, fine, if Trump couldn't deliver, we'll go with Mondabi and AOC. And so in a turning, and this is a mega turning, a fourth turning, and it's here. Nobody can deny it now. The young people want the transfer of power. And they look at the boomers that in inflation did okay because at least their real estate had value. Still not perfect for them. It's hell for young people. And a lot of the young people are dumbed down and mindless. A lot are really smart. The point is that they are going to get very aggressive, and that's what Mark Mitchell was just getting into before we go to calls. And I think for not just boomers, but everybody who doesn't understand cycles, and this is a very well-documented cycle that's now not like we're predicting it. We're now deep into the fourth turning. This is now a proven fact that, yes, it happened. It was like a 98% chance it would, but sure enough, it did. So why don't you explain that to people? You got caught up by the break.
So fourth turning is the concept in history that, you know, most people look at history linear, like this event happened, then this event happened, then this event happened. But in reality, people that are one age during event A are a different age during event B. So if event A for them was a horrifying war where they were troops, then they're going to govern in event B differently than somebody else who might have been old during event A and didn't actually see any action. And basically what happens is you have this cycle then of, you know, weak men create hard times create strong men create good times, blah, blah, blah. And that's actually shown to overlay pretty closely with American history over the last, you know, couple hundred years. We've had basically a major crisis every 80 years, and those correspond to four different generational turnings. And it, you can superimpose on this a chart of order in a cyclical sine wave, where basically you have a major crisis like World War II, people have to come together. Then you see a period of high social cohesion, a lot of order, a lot of new institutions and values being formed. That was like, you know, the period between 1940 and 1960 usually goes with an economic positive time, a period of optimism. Then people branch out into individualism, and then the institutions start to erode. And then there's a period where things start to fall apart. People become very individualistic, do their own thing. And then at the end, everything, there's so much lack of order, the values mean nothing. The peak individualism ultimately brings about a crisis that draws people together. But the most important thing is that the people that solve the new crisis are different than the ones that solved the previous crisis, and they tend to reform society around a new set of values. And we are seeing that right now, because these young people do crave order, and I can point to poll after poll after poll. We already did the one where, like, young conservatives under 40 actually want to give legislative control to an AI. Like, that was pretty wild. We had these people were most likely to, under 40 voter, was most likely to support Trump ignoring judges, were most supportive of his quote that he who saves his country violates no law.
And, yeah, let's say there's a pretty authoritarian streak in the young people because they're hitting the emergency button. And that's why we need to watch out for Mondami, because if Trump wasn't going to deliver it, then we're going to get a communist version of it. That's why everybody better be real concerned, because the globalists call it a liquefaction process. Normally things are frozen in a status quo for 80 years. Then there is a process where it's unfrozen. You can mold it the way. That's why for all Trump's warts, I was desperate to get the 1776 thing relaunched, tried to get it branded with him in the first term as that. So people bought into it like Bannon and others. Now he's gone off the rails with Israel First and megalomania. And so people need to understand, it's not just Trump fades off and it's business as usual. Now we have given the revolutionary launch pad to the communists and all of their globalist backers. Mark, is that an accurate statement?
I don't. I'm starting to get optimistic about it. I'm starting to not see these gulags and ditches. I really do think that that was an offshoot of the establishment Democrat Marxists, the people under Biden, the capture by the Chinese Communist Party, the very, viral reaction to Donald Trump.
No, I agree. There's a big backlash from Bill Maher and everybody else saying communism is a disaster. I agree. So you think there's still enough sanity to reject this?
Well, I just don't see how I can ask a question like this. How important is it for America to maintain the values that inspired the American Revolution? And I'm still getting 74% important among the 18 to 29 year olds. So I do think these people are authoritarian, but they want a society that works. They want order. They want an economic system that works. Now, they might be fine with pillaging companies and older people, but I don't think that they're going to put them in a gulag. I think that they're trying to correct the sins of the prior generation that took a very good America and gave them crap.
These are the children and grandchildren of hippies, and so you're going to get basically the opposite of hippies.
If the Democrats were smart, they would run a 2028 candidate on exactly Trump's platform. And they could do it, because it's not a conservative platform. They really could. They could just be not insane for once. You already know that there are some economic populists in the Democrat Party. You got your Elizabeth Warrens. You got your Bernie Sanders. Incidentally, Bernie Sanders was polling pretty well against every Republican contender in the 2028 matchups we did. He beats J.D. Vance. And, J.D. Vance beat everybody else. And so there's this aspect of, like, again, like, he's not a real socialist, right? And his policies don't actually work. But what I'm saying is that's where the energy and the desire is. People are sick of this system, and they want the system broken. But not because they want to put a boot on your neck. They just want to live like a happy life. And this is some of the first polling that showed us this trend was coming 2-3 years ago.
Sure. And do the boomers not understand that everybody else is about to get the keys?
Fox News isn't telling them that this is coming. So maybe they know, maybe they don't know. I don't know. What I can tell you, though, is that if I spot an inauthentic like message in my timeline, it's usually either a Hespera Zio bot or, like, you know, a boomer, which is just like, well, these kids need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps and hand walk a resume up to the boss at the corporation. It's like they don't understand that these people are like competing against 1,000 other people for one position in the like that exists for the.
They don't understand half the tech companies are Indian run mafias. They won't hire unless you're Indian. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yep. Like, yes, that is exactly what happened. And, you know, like, again, if the Republican Party leaned into scaling that back, and Alex, as you know, that is a major national security threat. We've given up de facto control of almost every single one of our Fortune 100 companies. We've given them a sabotage veto over all of our corporations. If we ever got in a war with India, like, our economy is cooked. They would just, like, take over every one of these companies or just.
Well, by the way, Indian politicians, and I'm hard over Indians, it's true. Now, they brag, and a lot of them are Muslims, they brag that they basically run us now.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I've seen it happen. Walmart, Sunnyvale engineering buildings, 95% H-1B. You know, you get your HR DEI-focused Karen who wants, like, a feminized corporate culture. You know, Indian H-1Bs tend to be less threatening and more socially cohesive. And once they get in, there is a very big ethnocentric hiring push. It just happens.
But and then five years later, they say to the executives, hey, these Karens are a problem. They kick them out, and it's all Indians.
Yeah, that's right. And then they own the C-suite. They get into the C-suite. And I've experienced it. Like, that was my experience in corporate America prior to going to Rasmussen Reports. So anybody, and again, it's not a majority of Americans who have dealt with this. Because the H-1B program, people still think, is about bringing America's best and brightest. And so if you were Daddy Warbucks Republican, EGOP donor guy who, you know, is run by the Americans for Prosperity or whatever, right? You could take an unpopular stance and say, like, no, America, I'm looking out for the worker, and this program is unpopular. And even though it was signed into law by a Republican president, we need to repeal this thing. And you would be a hero of the youth, but you would have to do the exercise and work of explaining it to the older generation, and you would have to buck your donors. And so that's why it doesn't happen on the Republican side. And again, there's these popular issues. You know what I mean? There's like voter ID. There's the E-Verify federal mandate. There's all these things that the Republican Party could do. You could, like, again, legislatively debank.
But they won't do it. And people don't know how mafias work in big corporations. Like, Joe Rogan's talked a little bit about it, so I'll tell the story. All those YouTubes that got banned on Spotify when he moved there was because 60% of the management of Spotify US is trans. So they'll literally poop on the floor, tear out the building, go crazy in New York. The technicians are all in Sweden that run the technical, but the maniacs run that. And so they basically have a veto over who can even come on Joe's show. That's why he left Spotify. And their exclusivity a year ago was literally the trans mafia. Well, forget the trans mafia. That's if you those companies, you've got to say you're trans. With the Indians, I'm sorry, folks, 80-something percent of the visas are just from India, and most of those are from one little tribe in India, and you're gone, folks. But they're very nice and sweet and don't tell you that, but that's how it works. Let's take a few calls. Mark, you ready?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right, I appreciate it all the time. This has been great. Let's go to Chad in Minnesota. You're on the air with Mark Mitchell. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, folks. Just real quick, Mark, back in November of 2025, you were on Alex's show. You basically laid it out for the Trump admin at that time for the missteps and charted a clear path for the president to pull out of the doom spiral, so to speak. With that being said, now that that's long gone and out of the equation, more than likely, with what you said, that hit me like a ton of bricks, and it resonated, and it's exactly a lot of how I feel. Do you feel that maybe J.D. Vance can step into that role, or are we looking at a possibility of just giving up on the Republican Party and maybe trying an independent or somebody that we can shift the funds and get some type of support and have a wave of just a populist? Because, I mean, you mentioned that, you know, J.D. Vance is talking about economic populism. So I'm just curious.
No, I mean, I already said it earlier. I don't know if you were tuned in. I mean, I think Vance gets it and has been consistent. I think he's the hope. I mean, Rubio's a neocon. J.D. Vance breaks ranks and gamble for power. Mark Mitchell, what do you say?
No, that's it. I don't think he talks about economic populism. I think he is an economic populist. I think he grew up in a poor household. I think he worked in corporate America. He understands this. And, you know, I like him personally. I think he's a man of value. I've met him and talked to him more than I have with Trump. And I'll also say that he has built and run corporations. So when I look at him, I look at somebody who understands the value and power of structure. And if he's who I think he is, he's a person that could put new structures in place, new feedback loops, new incentive mechanisms, because what we currently have is completely broken. Now, it's up to him about whether he's going to run or not and what the polling looks like. I still think he could win, but what I struggle to understand how he could build the structure to be effective so that if he does take office, he's not surrounded by the same people and problems as Trump is. And so that's the issue, is that I wouldn't want that job. I wouldn't want to go up against the deep state and this donor network and all these foreign countries that will use any means necessary to subjugate the needs of the American voter.
Yeah, and you notice so Israel's already lined up against Vance.
Oh, ever since that October 29th Turning Point event he did, where he came out and said, this president is not owned by Israel. Woo! The Israel Times and the J-Post did not like that one bit.
Yeah, Chad, thanks for the call.
They started systematically attacking him, and they used the Joe Rogan thing to attack him even more. So the establishment Republican and its interests definitely want Rubio. I don't know anything about Rubio personally, but what I could say is that taking and running a Secretary of State when people are begging for a domestic policy agenda is political malpractice.
I totally agree with you. And look, Vance, I know Vance, you know him better than I. He's the real deal. That's why they attack him with the attack of, oh, he's establishment. Oh, he knows Palantir. They all do. The Israel first people hate his guts even before this. That tells you all you need to know, folks. That tells you all you need to know. Vance is the best thing we got, and that is that simple. Let's go to Sean in California. You're on the air. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, Alex. Good afternoon. How you doing out there?
Man, I'm fighting hard to keep a civilization going. I got four children, so.
Great. Well, hey, my question, Alex, is partly for Mark, and then I have another question for both you and Mark. For Mark would be, would he be willing to touch the third rail and do a multiple choice poll for the Vox Populi, for the voice of the public, in which, why does the MAGA base think Trump turned on him? And he could put, you know, different causes, different sources, just to see what the public really, you know, thinks of it. And the second,
well, they're going to say he covered up Epstein, he went to war with Iran, and he went soft on deportations. And would that be the answer, Mark?
Yeah, I appreciate the sentiment, and I will try to get to that, but I can't ask that question because it predisposes on somebody that Trump betrayed them. And there are a very small slice of the electorate. So you'd have to ask like a chain of questions, but I think it's totally a valid question. I'm certainly, and I would have no problem touching these rails. I mean,
you can't have the question be the answer. What do you call that? Yeah. Just a distorted poll?
I mean, does Israel have too much influence or not enough influence in the Trump administration? I mean, well, definitely we went there. It's 46% said too much, 13% said not enough. And, 44% of Republicans said about right. Another 14% said not enough. So there you have 58%. So the Republican Party is kind of okay with the amount of Israel influence that they have in the Trump administration. Not all of them, but enough of them that.
And we know it's boomers. We know it's boomers that worship Israel, but under 50, that's not the case. We saw that in the Massey situation. What was your question for me, real fast, Sean?
Yeah, and the second one, Alex, would maybe for the realalexjones.com or alexjoneslive.com, you have maybe a weekly poll that maybe Mark can moderate and make sure no one's doing anything screwy, where you kind of put up an issue of the week and how your base of people out there listening to your show can focus our energies on a topic. Like right now, the NDAA and Section 224 and everything you focused us on. We got some traction on that. Maybe we need, maybe people need it, not guidance, but like a hint or like this is a big issue.
No, I appreciate your call. I mean, Mark's out doing his polls. We'll do it. I'm not really a pollster, but we'll publish what he has to say and have a moment. Everyone wants to come on. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Van in Arizona. You're on the air. Go ahead, Van.
Hey, Mark. How's it going? A couple quick questions. Yeah. What percentage of people want a Pinochet style leader, just a hard right winger that's going to fix everything that we're going through right now? And then real quick, I want to touch on the J.D. Vance thing that you guys talked about. My opinion, if Vance is the best we got, I think we're screwed. He, for his job, he had a no-show job. And his Rogan interview just seemed fake as hell. And one more thing.
Yeah.
Jay Feely's a bitch.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
That was a so somebody put him up to that. So JD is the best I currently look at the slate from a polling perspective and from a ideological fit for what I think the new conservative movement needs to be. And again, we're going to figure out over the next couple of years what the new conservative movement looks like and if anybody is able to form that into something. But I'm totally leaving on the table that there could be a dark horse outsider that comes in and completely wins this thing. 100%. And I hope that happens because I think it would be a big forcing function in all of these debates during.
I mean, I look, all I know is it's going to be Rubio if Israel gets their way. So everybody goes, oh, look, he's at the Wailing Wall. Yeah, J.D. Vance is not anti-Israel. I'm not anti-Israel either. I don't want Israel trying to run our government. It, you know, it's that simple. Let's go to Dave in Colorado. Dave, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. I just wanted to ask, let's say that dark horse starts to get a little momentum and your guest is has the opportunity to run his campaign. What should he be saying throughout his campaign? What is his main focus?
Oh, okay, you're not talking about J.D. Vance being a dark horse. You're talking about some other dark horse. So if you had a magical candidate, what would they do to win, according to your polling, Mark Mitchell?
And what are they saying? And then, of course, they need to follow through, but what are they saying?
I think economic populism, anti-war. I think Mark said it all, right, Mark? A vision.
100%. Get the illegals out, increase wages, you know, wring back power from the corporations, bust up monopolies, go after malfeasant behavior in the banking and investment industry. Like we should be doing things like closing private equity loopholes and limiting, you know, the resale of securitized assets. And what I would love to see, what I would really love to get out there is I'm sure that there's economists out there working on a new economic populist capitalism where things like the public ownership of equity are banned. And people might freak out over that, but I truly think that needs to happen because when corporations are privately owned, they're much more risk averse. They focus more on the values of the community. They're more interested in maintaining everybody's stakeholders. And you don't see all of this corporate globalist slop getting circulated around. I think that equity ownership is one of the major things that completely screwed up capitalism for everybody. So I would love to see.
Yeah, it's not even capitalism now. It's a corporate club of crony capitalism, monopoly capitalism. That then socializes the risk and privatizes the profit.
Yeah, and they get what they want. When they are that big, they can get what they can just buy whatever the heck they want in Washington, D.C. Now, I will run zero people's campaigns, but I would advise these people. But basically, it's like run on the Trump things with a little bit more intent and authenticity. Right? And the problem is it like I don't see how an extension of Trump can say, like, no, this time we mean it. Like, I really don't. So,
well, let me ask you this. Yeah. Like you said, all the money's still on trying to buy Trump and his people, and all the kids of the cabinet members are breaking in billions. Just the insider trading, the sweetheart deals are just biblical in proportion. This is a question separate from polling. Does Trump realize how destroyed he is and lame duck when they win the House and Senate? Does he have any idea how they're going to come after him? And they're going to blast through those Justice Department letters claiming he can break the law. I mean, this is shameful what he's turned into.
Listen, if I'm a DC outsider and I hear rumors about these things like 8 months ago, then it's real. And I heard that there were multiple congressional DC Democrat staffers' offices literally working around the clock to build anti-corruption cases against members of the Trump administration. And then they tend to, like, make this basically a huge, massive show trial. Like, I just really don't know how you finish presidency like that. Because remember, like, they were able to confound him quite a bit over just a simple phone call that they recorded and was leaked with Vladimir Zelensky. So, like, if some of this stuff has real teeth, and I hear that it does, like, this is a major problem because he came after the Biden administration. He ran as the opposite of Biden. And Biden, as we all know, was probably purchased by China and everybody else, right? And some of the stuff I'm hearing makes that look like, you know, like petty street theft. Like, it's just, it's night and day, and I really
hold on, you've been very gracious, and I got other news to hit. We only got 30 minutes left. Come back, finish what you're hearing. Plus, we see it in the news. And then we'll talk to Julio, and that's it for calls. And Mark, anytime you got breaking polls, you want to come on once a week, five times a week, once a month, you write your ticket. When you got something breaking, you call my producer, you're on. And as we finish the new network studios too, I'd love to, whenever you want to record something, maybe have, you know, a daily or weekly blurb or something for your new site. It is so exciting with the honest polling you're doing. And so we're just really excited about that. Everybody's got to bookmark that right now. We'll put that URL on screen when we come back. But yeah, let's talk about what Trump faces when they take control of the House and Senate.
And a microscopic tag being planted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Colin saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder who put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting the you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. Getmasterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
If you are receiving this transmission, You are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
Out on the streets, that's where we meet. You make the night. I always cross the
line. I was talking to Mark Mitchell about what he thinks about Trump and his weird behavior that's getting worse. You know, he gets up at the World Cup ceremony yesterday and for multiple minutes won't leave when the winners are supposed to have their celebration and you know, have their trophy. And then the head of the World Cup comes over, tries to drag him off with a hook. He won't leave. And then Trump waits. And I mean, that's what 3-year-olds do when your parents are watching a football game and you jump around in front of the TV. And, you know, I mean, because I would do that when I was a kid. It was fun. I wanted to tell, you know, act like a superhero, but I was 3 or 4 years old. I quit after that. And we go sit down and watch the game and, you know, eat pizza and Cheetos. And Mark brought up other stuff that I've also, Trump said this actually. He said, well, I heard he wants to. I said, no, actually, he said that. So I talked to multiple people in the White House and also a big billionaire. It was like a year and a half ago. And he brought it up. He said, no, he goes, you understand. Bill Clinton is obsessed with getting a Nobel Peace Prize. So is Bill Gates. They hate each other because they're in competition for it. And Trump is totally obsessed with it. And then I was talking to people at the White House. They said when Trump didn't get it, he literally threw a fit. And then he did post on X. He tweeted, well, I'll just start wars then since you didn't give me peace prize. And then he went and did it. So, I mean, if you had like a Kurt Vonnegut satire novel about a crazy leader, you'd write stuff like that. It would be unbelievable. It would be fantastical. And I'm not trying to run Trump down, but when you look at the insider trading and the insider deals, you know, $2 billion or, you know, Tajikistan, and, you know, he signs the deal with billions of U.S. government dollars days after his sons are signed on. And I'm not trying to attack him. I know these guys. But, I mean, it's shameful. And then you've got, you know, $2 billion from the Muslims, you know, from UAE and Saudi Arabia or whatever, and that comes over. And then it's all lost, but then they all get all these deals or giving them airplanes. I'm like, well, they gave us an airplane. I didn't know Trump keeps it as his personal Air Force One when he leaves office as part of his new library. I mean, it is no one has ever been this naked. No one. But it shows in all the behavior. So talk about the Mount Rushmore thing and then tie this in from what you're hearing on top of it versus the admissions. He gets letters from the DOJ. Like get out of jail free cards. And I know Biden did this where he gave a blanket pardon. Well, Trump, as you know, 3 months ago said, I'm giving the entire administration from the janitor to the maids to the cabinet members a blanket pardon. So, I mean, this is like the movie Gremlins or something. And it's after midnight. And they're running around destroying the town, Mark Mitchell.
I think he really wants a legacy. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know him well personally. I think he really wants a legacy, and he will have a legacy. There were a lot of very unprecedented things that happened during the Trump administration. Hard to say what it'll be yet, but it seems to me like he's trying to craft one. And when I talked to him, I was trying to help him win. I was giving him what I thought were very clear, like path forward of objective things he could do to convince Americans that he was focused on their desperate needs. And at the end of the day, I just didn't feel like he was that engaged. And his other meeting, like the one after me, was like rich people trying to give him statues and stuff. And he was talking about Lindsey Graham's golf drive. And it's just like he wasn't engaging in the fight. Like, I don't think he had the fight. And listen, I don't think I would personally be able to go through the things that Donald Trump went through. They put him through so much, you know, like all the convictions and all the attacks. And like at a certain point, I guess it's like, well, he's going to just make his legacy. And that's what I think he's doing. He's trying to make himself and being in an insular environment like Truth Social, I don't think is helping him. Like, I don't think he has the feedback.
Well, let me interrupt again because you're so on target. Again, you're on the show last June or whatever. You say you're in an emergency situation. Everyone's turning on you. Change course now. He could have done it. The vice president sees it, calls you up there, 3-hour meeting. He shows up for part of it. You lay it out. He's like, oh, I got to go be given gold statues and talk about Lindsey Graham's golf drive. You're literally brought in as an intervention to like convince him because they know you're the top pollster. And, I mean, again, we're not, it's like exactly, I'm done helping him because it doesn't do anything. I mean, I remember telling him when he was president-elect, 10 years ago. Sir, Fiona Hill is on the board of George Soros' foundation. This general is on it. They are your enemies. Obama signed the defense authorization, you know, NDAA with $2 billion with stay-behind networks. What's that? What's that? They put their people in to counter and undermine you. Here's the legislation. And he's like, oh, Alex, you're so great. Let me talk to your wife. And seriously, God, your husband's incredible. You know how great he is? I mean, like 10 minutes, she's got him on speaker glazing me because that's his currency. And he does that. They glaze each other. I'm like, dude, I don't want to be glazed. I want to save the country. And I mean, I he would get mad at me. We see, he would call me for years and I would just say, dude, will you stop? I mean, literally, I'm not trying to be mean. Trump will give you a oral blowjob. Okay. A verbal blowjob if you let him. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't try to be mean. People ask like, oh, you're mad he called you low IQ. No, I stopped. They used to call and say, he's going to call you in a few hours and you wait by the phone. Will you take a call from the president? I got where I wouldn't even care because literally it's a robot machine kissing your ass to manipulate you. And I would say, sir, I don't want you to tell me how great I am. You've got enemies. It's like, it's pointless. I'm sorry. Go ahead. And yeah, I'm telling stories I shouldn't even be telling here. But I mean, you know,
it was tough, like, especially as a longtime personal Trump supporter.
Did he glaze you? Did he glaze you, Mark? I hear you're incredible, Mark. I hear you're.
No, not at all. I didn't get an ounce of that. Well, because I had been very openly hostile on the internet. I was getting hundreds of direct messages from 3-time Trump voters who were literally burning all their Trump hats and 55-gallon drums out back. Like, that's where we were because of all the overt, like, antagonization that he was taking out on his original base at the time. Like, that was the backdrop of my trip. And I don't want to be mean to the staff again because, like, they were listening very closely and JD, you know, wanted Trump to hear my message and Susie was listening and taking notes and they wanted to learn from me. But it's like what I didn't see was when you go into a major corporation and it's like this company has a vision. Somebody laid out a mission and I bet you they know what their quarterly goals are. And I bet you if you look, somebody's keeping track of how all the meetings tie back to strategic initiatives. And I thought that I would hear like, well, hey, that's a good thing you say that because we're working on XYZ and this is our plan for the next 6 months.
And instead, you found a runaway train. And by the way, I used the wrong term for the meeting. Oral blowjob is what a blowjob is. Verbal blowjob. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I didn't get one of them. So.
No.
But I mean, yeah, like I tried. But like just to give you an example, I got kind of mouthy and I was like, you know what? You know, Americans don't like oligarchy. They think that's what the problem is. And a lot of the people you're surrounding yourself make you look like an oligarch. And so you should smash the oligarchy and not be the oligarchy.
You said that. You said it on the show and after. A parade of Larry Ellison saying we're going to control you with AI ain't good, sir.
Yeah. It's bad. Like when you bring Mark Zuckerberg, who stole your election, into the White House the very first week of your inauguration, like that is not a good look. And Susie was like, oh, that's really good. I'm going to write that down and use it. But it's like they didn't use it. You know what I mean? Like we're still.
And they don't know like, to not bring Bill Gates in. They did that, too. Like our arch enemies.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
I mean, it's like Batman throws the Joker in prison and we catch him playing golf the next week.
Yeah. And, you know, the ties to Pfizer. Like it's all the way down. Just inconsistencies, betrayals. And you mentioned Mount Rushmore, and I want to point out that there's like a couple of like really important people on Mount Rushmore. One of them is former President Theodore Roosevelt, who in some ways had a lot of the same problems that Donald Trump inherited when he entered office the second time. We had a system of plutocracy. We had very strong like corporate overlords. We had people who were hurting and wanted help. And you know what he did was he used the bully pulpit to go after these people. He promised people a square deal. He, you know, went out. He was a trust buster. He went after the corporations. And he got on Mount Rushmore for, like, obviously a lot of things. But I'm just saying, like, it's very symbolic, in my opinion, that it's like, do we really expect Democrats to be pro-worker and anti-corporate in a way that actually preserves our democratic way of life?
No, they're going to give us DEI and Black Lives Matter and communism. And you're right. Yeah. Trump said he's William McKinley. No, you want to be Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah. And we missed, I think, a generational opportunity. But again, I'm very excited about where this goes because Trump's 70% way through his total presidency on Earth maybe, like, if it doesn't end sooner. But he's like 90 couple percent through his total, like, non-lame duck presidency, you know, assuming that the Democrats win control of the Congress. And so there's very soon a period where people are going to be desperate for new leadership that is like, well, what do we do now? This didn't work out the way we wanted it to. And obviously there's a lot of very pro-MAGA people and a lot of entrenched interests that are going to be very interested in extending the control of the current movement they have. And so what I think we're going to see is something like, you know, a civil war on the right over the future of the Republican Party. Now, the establishment, we know what that wants, right? And so it's going to be a dark horse outsider who runs on something that looks like America First, but it has to have a very specific economic vision of the future. It has to do something that looks different.
No, I totally agree. So in closing, Vance obviously is the best. I think you already said this. I'm putting words in your mouth. The best guy. He needs to do more breaking with Trump. In fact, the best thing he could do is really get in a fight with Trump and have Trump really come out against him. I would encourage Vance. He's very tactful, but do you agree with that, A and B? How would he tactfully distance himself from Trump even more right now? He's got to do it now.
There, I mean, the problem is he's just going to open himself to so many more attacks. He's in a really tough spot. And again, I think he's the best of the people we currently have on the map. But I don't know if that's necessarily the best thing for the health of the future of the Republican Party. It might be a generational shellacking that happens because you have an outsider who runs as an independent and just rubs the Republican Party's nose in their own mess. And hopefully we get through whatever Democrat wave that turns into. And maybe it'll be a sane Democrat who learned from Donald Trump and wants to actually repair the American. I doubt it. But
what if RFK Jr. and Gabbard ran or everybody's Tucker swears he won't do it. But what if Tucker ran third party?
I think it needs to be somebody that goes after OG MAGA, in my opinion, because we saw RFK run as an independent and he came out really strong because people weren't totally sold on Trump yet. He came out at like a 14-15%. But by the end there, he was only at about 1.5%. And in my opinion, that's not enough to like really inflict the damage that you would probably need to
Ross Perot.
Yeah, exactly. And that would be Tucker. And it would be on like, hey, the American voter needs to come first, or somebody like Tucker. American voter needs to come first. Like, we need to fix this. You were betrayed. Here's what the future of the Republican Party needs to look like. And then that needs to be like calculus. Like, that needs to be clearly delineated set of vision that is not like Holocaustianity plus boomer capitalism plus like they're our greatest doubt. Like, it's got to be very clearly. This is our vision. We're not using the Art Laffer curve anymore. We're not using trickle-down economics.
No, I agree. What do you think Israel's going to do? The whole world's already turned against them except America and the boomers. But they see the writing on the wall. Like, you know, I was like, we don't need your money anymore. We'll co-own your Pentagon and your weapons. That's not going to fly. Even if they pass it, it's going to get shot down because at least there's still territorialism in our defense establishment. I mean, good luck, Israel. You finally found an enemy. Of criminals you can't beat, which is the military-industrial complex. Like Eisenhower couldn't beat him, and Kennedy couldn't beat him. You bit off more than you chewed this time. But what's going to happen to Israel now that they've done this? I mean, they have really gone for broke, and I think screwed the pooch long term.
They have completely lost their position as the winner versus Palestine in American public opinion. I think it takes years if that comes back at all. But in some of the polls, Palestine actually beats like Israel now. I think in the Gallup poll it did for the very first time. And yet, if you look at the votes on Capitol Hill, the Republicans still vote along party line for Israel. The Democrats don't. They split about 50-50 now. So now I don't know if that's real on the Democrat side, but I think it's fair to say that there's going to be some behind the scenes friction on the Democrats where you have people like Schumer going up against people like AOC, and they're going to be on opposite sides of this. So if I was Israel, that means like lean into trying to do everything possible to make sure the establishment wing of the Republican Party stays in control. I think that that might be a losing proposition and public opinion is going to turn on them even more because I think their tactics are very inauthentic. Now, then it gets into like what is their real purpose in Iran? And there's reasons to wonder if they don't just like want to make this one the all out war to end all wars against Iran and because of sort of religious reasons or whatever. Like, I just don't know as a state. I think a lot of that depends on what happens to Bibi Netanyahu and where public opinion is in Israel on him. I have no idea. He's still relatively respected in the U.S. Like, people turned on Israel, not Netanyahu, which is kind of weird. But they are done with this war. I mean, like, the numbers are not good. We asked a very straight-up question. And this is bad, because a lot of pollsters were cooking these questions with push questions. Which is closer to your opinion? The U.S. should end military action against Iran immediately, or the U.S. should continue military action until the Islamic regime in Iran is completely destroyed? Immediate end is 49% to 35%. So America, by a pretty massive margin, wants this thing over. And Trump's just in a position where he can't. And Israel's in a position where they benefit when Trump can't, but they lose in public opinion in America.
Sure, but what about Ingram at a poll? 60% of Trump voters don't want the war over. I mean, that's pretty strong.
Yeah, like, it isn't. Like, you would think it would be higher because of how much of his own platform he's built. Like, this is, people are going to look back at the second Trump presidency, and they're basically mostly just going to see Iran. And, you know, 61% of Donald Trump supporters say continue. 26% of Trump voters in 2024 say end it immediately.
Do you think he went with Iran in the final equation to cover up Epstein? Because that's a final question. You know, the Democrats, they've already said they're going to go crazy with Epstein once they get back in with the hearings. And I mean, that this is going to be incredible.
Personally, no, this is conjecture, but I think what we're seeing is sort of like the final plays of a 30 to 40 year long neoconservative movement in the United States that had a certain intentional outcome, and they're getting closer to it than they ever have.
So, yeah, the six of the seven countries they got, so the neocon plan. So what do the neocons do? What do they do if they take down Iran? Now they say they want Turkey.
Yeah. And there are religious reasons why the fall of Iran to America would be very symbolic to them. I'm not a theologian. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. Like, again, Iran is a massive local force with a lot of military power. Clearly, even though Trump was getting fed intel, clearly they had some understanding of that, right? And so there seems to be no moderation of their intent to continue to attack regional neighbors. It seems it seems like contrary to what you would try to do as a rational nation. And we're in the Republican Party is currently enabling that under Trump. Like, it's inexplicable.
You think we're still in the war in the midterms? I think we are.
I mean, we'll see how bad global energy markets get in 3 or 4 weeks. I don't think we're going to have another MOU and have oil flowing in 3 or 4 weeks, and we're going to see everybody emptying their pockets.
Yeah, for folks who don't know, the strategic oil reserve is almost drained.
And oil's on its way back up. And so, will that crush the economy? I don't know, but what it will be is a very symbolic thing. Because if you remember, Trump's second movement really kicked off when Biden screwed up the Afghan thing, so like foreign interventionist mess up. And at the same time, people were putting the "I did that" stickers on all of the oil pumps across America. And so also we have the $2.4 billion that is probably being laundered through Act Blue right now. They got a lot of material on Trump to play on those ads. Got a lot of stuff. And I just, like, it's impossible to predict how much impact that's going to have on people who, after such a long period of time, were expecting something very different out of this president.
All right, Mark, thanks for the hour and 50 minutes. Incredible. Honest Pollster on X is the new site, thehonestpoll.com, thehonestpoll.com. Look forward to talking to you and working with you a lot more in the future. Congratulations on leaving Rasmussen to not be censored, launching your own operation. Can't wait to cover your information daily. Thank you.
Thanks. Great to be here. Appreciate your help.
Thank you. All right, Harrison Smith's on vacation. They got a great guest host taking over. Rex is hosting tomorrow. I did a great job yesterday with Joe Kent and more. I have my integrity, so I'm not signing on to sweetheart deals and insider trading. I'm not signing on to Epstein cover-ups. I'm not signing on to forever wars. I'm done. I'll still support the good stuff Trump's doing, and there's plenty of it. But my God, this is a disaster. And that's why it's more important than ever. We're on the air. So I got so upset today, I plugged like once or twice. If I plugged every two segments, we'd have plenty of money to span the network and hire the crew and do all this stuff. I'm the problem. Because you guys are great. If I plug twice an hour, buy the T-shirts, buy the sub ones, they're great. We make the money and we do great. I get so upset. It's hard to go, oh, get your shower filter, even though it cuts out more of the poisons than any other filter out there at a lower price. You know, even though we have the very best methylene blue, if you don't know what that does, people demonize it. It's incredible. It absolutely works. So healthy. We have the widest selection of T-shirts. So many new designs there on the site. It's crazy. I can't do this without you. We got the United States of America 250th year special coin that's got the Jerusalem cross on one side, sesquicentennial on the other side, American eagle, bald eagle, and American flag. But it's simple. I need your support. I'll keep fighting. I'll keep telling the truth. My audience really is God. I just tell the truth and do everything in front of God. And I just believe you're like me. Everything we sell is whatever I think is cool. And if you got recommendations you want us to sell, we send out surveys every couple months. If you sign up for the email at thealexjonesshow.com, and a lot of the stuff like bovine colostrum and beef tallow, high-quality organic for cooking, that's all stuff you wanted. You got it. You guys wanted Shilajit. We got the best. I mean, most of the products there, actually, you recommended. A lot of the T-shirt ideas, you send in recommendations to them, the other stuff I design. It's all there. I mean, it takes money to win a war. I ask respectfully that you go to thealexjonesshow.com and that you get the products. There's a bunch of specials right now. It's just, like I said, hard for me to even focus on this. With even the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal says we're a total war now. We got the new liquid turmeric, 95% curcuminoid. Regular raw turmeric pills are 4%, and they work great. Imagine 95%. How many times stronger is that? Like 40-something times? It's incredible for inflammation in your whole body. We've got every order today and tomorrow gets a free mystery T-shirt, randomly selected by the computer in whatever size you choose. There's so much more. Got new dress shirts, new boxer shorts. I don't mean like underwear shorts, like boxer style cool shorts with 1776 on them. We got the new Hatteras outdoor performance button-up shirt. That is badass. It's so lightweight, looks so good, dries really quick. It's like, I told them to get some dress shirts. They got this, and I put it on the other day. I was like, God, this is so light, so nice. And I washed it and put it on and went out all day with it, worked in the yard, and like it was just so lightweight. I was like, this is like magic fabric. You don't know what Hatteras is? I'm like, no, I didn't know. And I looked it up. It's like some big, high-quality brand. So they got a lot of cool stuff at thealexjonesshow.com. And it's simple. You like what we're doing. You want to support us. Get great products at the same time. Work with those that support your values. It's so simple. Build the economy. Build the community. And look at these obnoxious. I call these the white trash line. Look at that one right there. Click on the blonde chick. I mean, look at that. I mean, I came up with that. Exactly. That's the stuff they sell in truck stops. And I love white trash, folks. And I don't mean that mean to white people. It is. I mean, it's got a hot blonde on it with the Texas flag and the rebel flag. I mean, that is so triggering. AlexJonesLive.com. It's just fun. Whatever the left doesn't like, we do it. We got a whole line of white trash shirts. it's all there. You know, they want to have drag queen story time with convicted pedophiles and your kid bounced on their knee, but we can't show a hot blonde with a rebel flag. And by the way, the South got set up. I'm glad the country wasn't broken up. I've always been clear about that. It's just funny to have the rebel flag, and because it definitely was tough and stood up, you know, and did what it thought was right. We sell the Gadsden flag they want to ban. We sell the Betsy Ross they want to ban. They say it's all evil. So I'm just like, you want to ban Teddy Roosevelt that was a civil rights activist and take a statue down in New York? It's just screw you. We're going rebel flag then. You know what I mean? Because they take the rebel flag, they take everything else. It's like, we got to say, oh, no, this is ours, too. You know, want to melt down Robert E. Lee's statue? No. It's just, because then they can melt down George Washington's statue. It's all crap, folks. We got a big tent for everybody, but you got to stop hating on America. It's the best house in a bad neighborhood. TheAlexJonesStore.com. All right, the War Room Live coming up. Stay with us. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, has been very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.